place to go. Have no place to go. Darling, have no place to go. Have no place to go.
All right, 609. Hi, hello, and how are you? Mark Carmen has classed up the joint this morning. Dave Bennett is homesick.
Steve, I went big today. Showered, shaved, put deodorant on, the whole thing. Wanted to be in my best Dave formation.
How will your fiance recognize you when you come home?
Yeah, not well.
Yeah, I'm just saying, you shower and shave, it's like a whole new man.
It felt, I don't feel like myself, to be honest. But well, good to be here, by the way. Thank you.
Good to see you. Questions about sports later for you. Nick's coming up here in a little bit. Nick DiGiulio. He apparently is the only one that's seen the movie Joker and hated it. So I'll ask Nick about that. Eric Edelstein later on politics. Chuck Todd is off today because he was literally at the Nats game last night. The Nats won late on a grand slam, as Carms just told you. And the Cardinals scored 10 runs in the first inning.
It was so nauseating to watch.
And went on to win. So the Cardinals and the Nats set for the NL championship. And the AL championship opponent to the Yankees gets decided tonight, right?
That's correct. We'll see. The Astros at home with Tampa. It's been a great series.
Coach Colleton on the show this morning talking about the Blackhawks home opener tonight. That's what matters. Dean Richards later with more on entertainment and our brand new Blackhawks in-studio expert. It's not you, Carms.
Okay.
It's 7-year-old Jerry Most.
That's exciting.
Oh, he's 8? Oh.
Well, that he had a birthday.
Happy birthday, Jerry. So he'll be on as well. And then comedian Frank Caliendo later. I'm only having him on for one reason. It really makes me laugh when he does Jeff Goldblum. I want to hear him do Jeff Goldblum buying a hot dog. But right now it's time for the top 6 at 6.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
Your kicks. Get your kicks.
With the top 6 at 6, sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men.
Item number one, reports say that President Donald Trump pressed then-Secretary of State Rex Tillerson to help persuade the Justice Department to drop a criminal case against an Iranian-Turkish gold trader who is a client of Rudy Giuliani. Why does this matter? It's just more to put on the what the hell is the president up to pile. We'll keep an eye on it. Next, Mayor Lori Lightfoot announced plans on Wednesday to merge the city's innovation and technology and fleet and facility departments. How much will we save? Let's go to the tote board. Could save the city about $1 million. And a good portion of Lori Lightfoot's time right now is give me more money back because we don't have any. So good for her for continuing to find things here and there. As long as they don't affect me, I'm fine. Next.
You don't live in the city, so that doesn't.
Well, but there are things. I mean, I work here every day, so there's things that will affect me. And, Steve, you know, I'm desperately concerned about yours and G's and everybody else's issues.
Very giving of you. Very much a teamwork, you know? I appreciate that, Steve. It's very good. Good of you.
I'm trying to think of the number one problems I would have would be parking.
stoplights.
Taxes.
Parking, access to restaurants, things of that nature.
Hotel taxes.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah.
GlaxoSmithKline on Tuesday said it's recalling the popular heartburn medication Zantac in all markets as a precaution. This is just after the U.S. FDA found unacceptable levels of probable cancer-causing impurity in the drug. Yeah, it seems a good reason to pull it back.
Yeah, they really have no choice either because most stores have already pulled it from their shelves. They're not even selling it anymore. Some big places like Walmart and other Walgreens, all of those, CVS, all of them have pulled it, so it's not even for sale anymore.
How are Tums? Are Tums okay?
I think Tums are still out, yeah. Mm. Those chalky ones.
Yeah.
They just taste bad.
There's a new fruit chewable. Tums.
Oh, that's okay. I
actually tried it when I was.
Is this your Tums report?
So my I'm an expert on heartburn.
They need Flintstone Tums.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Yeah.
I have heartburn. Give me a Wilma.
That's true. Pizza
Betty. Another voice here is John DeCoste. John, how are you today?
I'm good. How is everybody today?
Yeah, we don't have time.
Okay.
Chicago cupcake maker engaged in a 7-year fight with the city over its food truck regulations. Took a case to the Supreme Court. Attorneys representing Laura Picarnik, I believe it's Picarnik, owner of Cupcakes for Courage, filed a petition late last month against the nation's or in the nation's highest court to review whether a Chicago law requiring food trucks to install GPS tracking devices violates privacy precautions. In other words, the city wants to know where your food truck is.
It's nearly impossible for food truck operators to work in the city, honestly, with all the regulations. Yeah, it's been incredibly
difficult. I mean, you know this business better than anybody, so what's the big problem?
The
city wants to protect the restaurants?
Yes, they want to protect the brick-and-mortar restaurants, but truly, like, people that want to go into a brick-and-mortar restaurant would never really consider, like, buying food from a food truck. I mean, food truck folks are just buying stuff on the go in a hurry. And so they've created little areas where food trucks can congregate, but that's why they want to track all the food trucks, so that way they know that they're not deviating from the plan that the city has in certain areas downtown, especially.
But what am I missing here in regards to why is this a problem? If I want to do business and the city wants to know where I am, why do I care?
It's not that. It's just that, like, it's nearly, with all the regulations, it's nearly impossible to operate a food truck. The whole point of a food truck is that it's a lot cheaper to operate than opening a brick and mortar, and they're making it nearly impossible.
But in this case, it seems like the GPS piece is what they're fighting, and that's what I'm not understanding.
Yeah, may I say, too, that I've been waiting my entire life for the U.S. Supreme Court to hear a cupcake case? I've already applied for credentials to go and hear the arguments.
Yeah. We're going to need someone here from the media to actually try these cupcakes. Steve runs over everybody like George Costanza trying to get out of the apartment fire. Next, if your company, like many these days, uses Google's Gmail, Google Docs, Google Drive, Google Calendar, then in all likelihood, your company has complete access to everything you do on those services. So if you are on company Google, they could read your email drafts. They can read or get a look at anything you want to do. There's a gentleman involved in this, ex-Google employee Martin Shelton, who on Wednesday published a lengthy blog post dealing with all the ways Google itself can access contents of your Google account. I don't assume privacy about anything that I put online.
Right.
And I don't know that anybody should. That's the world we now live in. And don't assume that legislators and the laws are catching up fast enough to this stuff. They're certainly not leading. I mean, the average age of a congressperson right now is 109, and they don't understand how to sign on to get their own email, let alone drafting legislation that would handle privacy concerns. So is it any of Google's business what I'm doing?
Well,
no, not in the big picture, but I don't assume that anything I'm doing is not being seen by others, which is going to make my search history really embarrassing if it comes out.
Right. The big thing about this, though, Steve, is this: if your company has control over it. So, like, let's say, too, one of the big trends is people getting away from taking a company device to use during their workday and just buying their own. Mm-hmm. If your company has access to anything that you do, so if you use the Google your company sponsors, let's say that we have here, we do this ourselves, but let's say this was a company run rundown of our show this morning. Mm-hmm. They would have access to all that. They could see when we were signing in and signing out, perhaps even read our emails. They can do the same thing with devices, too. So if you have a company device, they know when you're turning it on in the morning, what kinds of emails you're responding to, when and where you're doing things.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. I'm not defending it. I think it's intrusive and paranoid and ridiculous, but I'm also not saying it can be beaten.
And just to quickly add, I think even with that food truck story, it was about a privacy issue, ultimately, as well, for that owner.
Hmm. All right, next. Last item is this. Chicago native Chance the Rapper was on James Corden's Carpool Karaoke last night, a bit he stole from John. The pair sang some of Chance's biggest songs, including All Day Long and No Problem. As many older viewers of James Corden's show who were up in the middle of the night because Zantac had made them ill said, I'm sorry, who's this Chance fella? And that's your top six.
That's it!
That's all today for the top six at six.
No more!
Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60 Minute Men.
He is Nick at night, to Julio. He knows what shows are good. What's stinking? He's the only one who's in the know. I need to know what Nick is thinking. I need to know what Nick is thinking.
Good morning, Nick.
Good morning. I'm just picturing you foraging.
Foraging in the forest?
Yeah.
I have a general theory, Nick. I don't know if you'll sign on with this, but the reason this country is so fat is food is too easy to get. Food is everywhere. Other countries, they got to work at it. So,
yeah.
So I'm advocating that, say, Jewel Osco has a hunting section where you have to hunt and kill your food before it gets you.
Now, you know, my dad works at a Jewel.
He could probably get this going for us.
And, oh, yeah, he could supervise the whole thing.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
You know I'm a big fan of your dad. You know that.
Everybody is. He's the best.
All right, so you guys did not go to a movie last weekend. Nick does his thing every weekend where he goes to a movie, takes his parents to a movie. It's a nice thing. But your mom was not feeling well?
Yeah, and you know what? She gave it to me. I appreciate that because, like, for 3 days, I've gone through 45 boxes of Kleenex. I think I've raised the stock of the Vicks company through the roof for the last 3 days.
That's great because I have two shares.
Oh, good. Yeah. Good for you.
Building my wealth. That's all I'm talking about. All right. So I've heard, I've not seen Joker, and I don't know that I will, but I've heard a lot of people love it. You hate it. Why?
Every frame. It's the worst movie I've seen all year. I've hated every single moment of the movie. It is boring. It is pretentious. It has nothing to say. It is a total knockoff. Like, the director of this movie, Todd Phillips, who, by the way, is the fantastic auteur of the Hangover movies in Old School, so he really should be able to handle a film about violence and a film about going crazy, because that's what people do after they see his stupid movies.
Well, can I ask how he got it? I mean, how was he picked to direct this?
Well, I mean, his movies make money. You know, and he co-wrote it. It was, you know, he's one of the, he co-wrote it. Now, my thing about this is, it's just, you know, to me, it seems like Todd Phillips got home late, 2 o'clock in the morning, may have had a few cocktails, decided he'd watch a Scorsese movie or two, and then wake up in the morning and go, hey, I can do that. But he can't. And Joaquin Phoenix's performance is empty. It's showy. It's the worst kind of, like, over the top, I'm an actor, quote unquote, performance that I've ever seen. It is an absolutely horrible movie. A horrible movie.
Based on that, G, how far do you follow that?
Wow, Nick, I mean, don't shoot the messenger here, but we did have, you know, with Dean and more on entertainment last week, he seemed to give it really high marks. I'm pretty sure he gave it an A and said this was a phenomenal Oscar-worthy performance by Joaquin, and we asked, well, do you think anyone's not going to like it? And he said, well, there's always that one contrarian. There's always that one critic that just wants to, you know, poo-poo something. Because,
and he said, I can't say who it is, but it rhymes with Schmidt.
Well, first of all, I'm not the only one. This movie is split right down the middle.
Oh,
half people love it, half people hate it. I'm on the hate side.
Okay.
Dean's on the love side. And to support what Dean said, I have no doubt in my mind that Joaquin Phoenix is going to get nominated for an Oscar. But the Oscars, you know, they nominate a lot of terrible performances. But I have no doubt in my mind that he will be nominated. It's just an awful movie.
Now, my friends that went to go see it said that they felt super depressed. Like, they went on a Friday when it came out, and they were depressed for the entire weekend. That it's just really watching someone delve into a serious mental illness that goes unchecked.
Well, I was depressed because I spent $12 on it. That's why I was depressed. No, I mean, look, here's the deal. If you want to see a movie that is about this kind of thing, that's about the loneliness and the kind of mental deterioration that people go through, watch Taxi Driver. Do yourself a favor and just watch Taxi Driver.
And by the way,
it completely holds up. It's one of the best movies ever made. And it's just, this movie is a pale, pale ripoff of that film. And as far as, like, people who, you know, who like the comic book movies, this is not a comic book movie. And also, seriously, how many times do we have to see an actor play the Joker?
Yeah.
This is like the 50th guy who's played the Joker. Nobody's going to be as good as Heath Ledger was. Nobody. Actually, nobody's going to be as good as Cesar Romero was.
I'd like to see Gilbert Gottfried do it one more time, and then I'll be done.
Okay.
All right, now we're in this new world we live in. I got 90 seconds to do 15 things with you. So give me an up or down on the Addams Family.
I haven't seen it yet. That's the movie we're going to see with my folks. I'm looking forward to it. Lots of incredible voice work, lots of incredible voice actors on it. A good team that has written and directed some really fine animated movies in the past. And I love the Addams Family, so I'm looking forward to that one.
And Gemini Man's the new Will Smith thing, where Will Smith plays Will Smith.
Yeah, right. So if I don't hate Will Smith enough, I got two of them in this movie. Yeah. So, yeah, I'm not looking forward to that one.
And Eddie Murphy's Dolomite. When is that out?
It opens next week in theaters and at the end of the month on Netflix. I haven't seen it yet, but I mean, if it, you know, Rudy Ray Moore who made the Dolomite movies, personal hero of mine. And everything I've heard about this movie has been great, and it's really cool to see Eddie Murphy making a huge comeback. And I guarantee you that in December, when he hosts SNL, it will break every ratings record that SNL has had. It's been 34 years since he's been on SNL. So
yeah, how about that? All right, buddy, thank you.
You got it, man.
That's Nick DiGilio, live from Nick DiGilio's place. All right, so we'll do some headlines here, and then when we come back, Chuck Todd again off celebrating the Nats win last night. But a couple of things to tighten up before we move on with the show. First, this.
Look for the bare necessities, the simple bare necessities. Forget about your worries and your strife. I mean the bare necessities or mother nature.
Steve Cochran Show continues.
That bring the bare necessities.
I think you're going to like these folks. Bear Hugs is an organization, or should say Bare Necessities, is an organization that offers bear hugs. The Bear Necessities Pediatric Cancer Foundation and Walk for the Bear is coming up. And joining us on the phone is Michelle Sikora and her four-year-old son, Bryce. Good morning, Mom.
Good morning.
Bryce, with you there?
He is here, yes.
Is he a talker or not so much?
It depends. He might be.
Can I say hi to him?
Sure.
Hi, Bryce.
Hi.
How are you today?
Good.
It sounds like you're a very nice boy. Are you?
Yeah.
What's your favorite thing to do for fun?
Play with sand.
Okay. And do you have a favorite toy right now? You're thinking.
Legos.
What is it, buddy?
Legos.
Oh, I don't know what that is.
Legos.
Oh, Legos. Well, that sounds like fun. Do you build stuff?
Yeah.
Well, that's fun. All right, well, I'm sorry you're up so early, but I wanted to talk to you. Can I talk to your mommy again?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, he doesn't get much cuter. That's about as cute as he can get. All right, so tell us what you tell us about the bear. How about that? Give us all levels of the bear.
Okay, so, Bear Necessities, we were introduced to them while Bryce was in the hospital. They are a foundation that started in 1992. In memory of the founder's son, Barrett, or Bear, as they called him, Krupa. He died after a courageous 5.5-year battle with a Wilms tumor, a pediatric cancer, at just 8 years old. And 26 years later, the organization is dedicated to eliminating pediatric cancer and providing hope and support to those who are touched by it. We as a family, Bryce, that you just spoke to, he was diagnosed last year, February 2018, with leukemia. It was a devastating time for us. He also has what's called the Philadelphia chromosome, which puts him at very high risk. It's a genetic alteration. There's no approved inhibitor drug for his kind, so we're kind of just going with the generic protocol and hoping that it cures his specific type.
Well, God bless. I mean, nothing but prayers from us and hope and all that. And, that little guy needs to do a lot of great things in the world, and I'm sure he's going to grow up big and strong and will. But good for you for being a part of a family you never thought you'd be a part of, because I know you've met some amazing people along the way. And I'm always stunned at the courage of parents who go through what you're going through.
Thank you very much.
So, and it's got to be exhausting, I'm sure.
Yes, it's been very difficult.
Bear Hugs provides custom experiences to kids, again, who are battling cancer, to brighten everybody's outlook. And did you say 5,000 kids have gone through this?
5,000 kids have received Bear Hugs from Bear Necessities, yes.
All right, so tell me about the walk that's coming up, because this sounds pretty fun.
So the walk, it's one of their it's actually their sixth annual Walk for the Bear. It's on October 20th in Lincoln Park. And Bryce is one of the ambassador kids this year.
Nice.
Yes, we're very excited to help them out. It honors children fighting and those who have lost their battle. It helps raise awareness. It brings in funds. Bear Necessities also has a program called Bear Discoveries, in which they fund medical research grants supporting cutting-edge research for advancements towards cures for all types of cancer, which is very, very needed because most of the research funds go to adult cancers. And pediatric does not have a whole lot of that, and they really, really need it.
You know, it's not to put words in your mouth, but I've always gone through this stuff where I've talked to families who are dealing with what you're dealing with, and you end up just kind of having an amateur medical degree through all of this. I mean, what you've learned about the disease your son has, it's pretty incredible.
Yes, we've learned quite a lot, and, you know, what's important for me really now is just raising awareness, you know, learning what I have about what little is known about pediatric cancer. That's what's important for me, really.
Well, Michelle, we can't even begin to imagine what it feels like not to be able to fix this for your child, because I know there's nothing more than that you'd want to do. But what is something that has probably been the most surprising thing that people who haven't gone through this or who may never go through this, what's the most surprising thing that you'd want them to know about this journey?
Well, you know, I think just knowing that, you know, pediatric cancer is the number one disease killer of kids, actually. It's not really as rare as you might think. I think it's 1 in 285 kids are diagnosed with pediatric cancer. And, I mean, we've met so many people in our community that their kids are going through the same thing we are. And it's nice for us to have a sense of that and, you know, have other people to talk to. But at the same time, very, very sad that there are so many kids going through this.
People mean well, but they can say the wrong thing at the wrong time. What sort of lesson can you give to folks who come across your story, whether it's your family or another family who just awkwardly don't know what to say?
Well, I think one of the big things is, of course, not saying, oh, has your kid tried this alternative medicine? This will cure it, and this will cure it, and don't have your kid eat sugar. And, you know, a lot of that stuff is
not helpful.
You know, yeah, it's kind of troublesome, and, you know, we really have to just follow what our oncologist says.
Is there anything other than promoting the walk that we can do for you? Because, obviously, our number one skill here are being big mouths.
I think promoting the walk is very important. Bear Necessities is an amazing organization, foundation. They're local here in Chicago. They're doing great things for pediatric cancer. So, I mean, it's a 3-mile walk on the 20th. People wear their costumes sometimes. There's trick-or-treating along the way. There's things for kids to do, pumpkin decorating, costume contests. You get a lunch. So if you come out and support Bear Necessities, or raise funds for research for them, that would be the best thing.
It's a great way for a family that's been blessed with kids who don't have major health issues to come out and teach kids about other kids who are going through it and to give them a sense of how they can help, too, because kids want to help, but they don't know what to do.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
Nice to talk to you. You're a hero, Mom.
Thank you.
All right. Give that boy a hug. We'll talk to you later.
Will do. All right. Bye-bye.
That's Michelle Sikora and her 4-year-old son, Bryce, who is dealing with stuff that he should never have to deal with. Kind of surprising, too, to hear, and we've heard it from other folks, that we don't know that much about cancer in kids. Mm-hmm. You would think that would be the number one priority for research dollars.
Did you say 1 in 263 or something?
259, 263. I had no idea those numbers were like that.
That shocks me.
Yeah, scary.
Why is this happening? Oh, man, it's terrible.
But a beautiful little boy, and again, keep the faith and say your prayers if you're so inclined, because that boy's got a lot to do. And right now, we should be mostly focused on building stuff with his Legos.
Yep.
Now, for this Halloween walk, John, if you go, I think you should go as former President Millard Fillmore.
Oh, I again?
Yeah.
I'd have to get that out, but yes, I could do that.
I thought, don't you have a bear outfit?
I do have a bear outfit.
There you go.
I have a bear outfit. Oh, I could do it. That's a good point. I could go as the Rockford Bear.
John has a costume shop at his house.
I do.
6:46. Let's give you something, because you're nice enough to be up listening at this hour. So a little fact or fiction when we come back. And why are your friends in California having their power turned off? Well, it's not because they didn't pay the bill.
Fact or fiction, fact or fiction. The simple game show causing mass addiction. DeCause will write the fake one. Make your choice and then the game's done.
312-981-7200. Of course, that's musical director John DeCause, also your host for Fact or Fiction. Let's play a test game so people know how to play.
Okay. Okay.
Throw it out to the staff.
Here
right
we
now.
Go. Some cats are actually allergic to humans.
Some cats are allergic to humans. So, like, if you're with a cat and another cat comes over and goes, who's your human? And the cat goes, I don't have a human. I'm allergic to humans.
Or the cat has to take, like, a pill.
Yeah, Allegra.
Mm-hmm. Allegra.
Yeah. As the sassy feline expert of the bunch here, I will say yes, because my cat sometimes acts like she's allergic to me.
But that's just being a cat.
I know, exactly.
You remember when I used to do that cat impression in my act?
Yes.
I'd run into a room as fast as I could, stop, stare for no reason, and then run back out.
Such a bad animal.
Yeah.
Oh.
Wow.
That's so harsh.
Kermit just blew off 50% of the audience.
Yeah. No, not
really.
Because the audience.
Ooh, Mary.
10% of the audience.
And the audience knows that if they want to, write him, he is at Mark Carmen.
I prefer at the Carm on Twitter, Steve.
Be sure to add Mary to that, too, now.
No, it's usually just me, Carm, so thanks.
Okay. Such a bad animal.
They hate me. Cats hate me.
312-981-7200, and I got room for one more to play here in just a second. One of the reasons I want to give stuff away here is not just because the listeners deserve it, but because I'm going to be gone for another 2 days. Steve, you just got back.
You don't say that. You don't tell them you're going to be gone.
I don't.
No.
I just stopped showing up.
No, we just don't. I mean, we want them to think they're going to get you. So that way they tune in and then they're surprised.
Are you going out of the country again?
Well, kind of. I'm going to North Carolina.
My old neck of the woods.
Is golf involved?
Yeah.
We call it the North Kakalaki.
North Kakalaki?
Why is the southern accent from you so amusing to me? Because here's the deal. I got a couple of pals that I grew up with, my cousins, who I'm still very close to, and my best friend from high school. And we do one golf trip a year, and it's this weekend at Pinehurst. Plus, it's going to be fun. And then I'm going back to Prague.
I have barely dried my tears from you leaving for Prague. Well, and now...
It's nice of you to say, but I know you giggle like a schoolgirl the moment I leave. He's gone! Let's have some fun!
That's so not true.
So let's go to the phone here. And Al is in Plainfield. Al, you ready to play Fact or Fiction?
Yes, sir.
All right, John, give it to
him. There we go. Good morning, Al. From 1912 to 1948... competitive art was part of the Olympics.
Oh, that's kind of a cool idea. So was it like sprint painting? Like you're running 100 meters while you paint something?
Arts and craft.
Did they run out of sports?
Decoupage?
Glue.
What year is this?
From 1912 to 1948.
Would bedazzling be part of the art?
Macaroni turkeys.
Macaroni turkeys.
I'm going to say that's fiction.
Okay. Anybody want to argue with him? I think it's fiction, too.
Okay.
Ready? I'll say fiction.
Yeah.
Everybody? Okay, good. No, it's a fact.
What?
I was going to say. It's so weird.
It is a fact.
What?
I know. I know, but it's true from 1912 to 1948. It dissipated after World War II for some reason.
How did it manifest itself in the games? Like you would have easels and people would paint and then they'd be judged?
Yeah, pretty much. And they'd have run up like they do with the, what is that? What is that they call it where they have to fire a gun and then ski or something?
Oh, the biathlon.
So they have to run to different places and...
And paint.
Yeah, paint. And make a picture. It was true.
Was it just painting? Was it art? Was it like pottery and sculpting?
Okay, I don't know that much.
So wait, they had
Steve.
To run? They ran? And then painted.
All right, Al, stand by. We have prizes for you. I'll tell you about those in just a second. But thank you for listening, Al.
Thank you very much.
And by the way, Al, you win anyway.
Yay.
Okay, thanks.
Well, I knew that, Al.
Did we ever answer the cat question?
Oh, no, we didn't.
Oh, what's the answer?
The answer is, yes, some cats are allergic to humans.
Yes.
Yeah.
Way to go, G.
Do
Way
I
to go,
win?
G.
Yes.
Yes, you've won.
Yes, yes, yes. I win because I get to be here every day.
Next, it's Elise. Good morning, Elise.
Good morning.
How are you today?
How are you? I'm good. How are you?
I'm fine. Are you on the road?
I am. I'm a substitute teacher doing a long-term sub, and I'm on my way to work.
And how old are the kids?
8th grade. It's the school I retired from after 30 years of special education.
Oh, well, good for you. And it's your school, so you know from about 8th graders. Oh, boy.
My whole career was there, and I love 8th grade.
Nah, you can handle it. We have nothing but faith in you, and thanks to all teachers who are getting up, going to work again today. We need you.
Amen.
All right, fact or fiction?
Here we go, Elise. The man who created the Pringles can is also buried in one.
Oh, boy.
Well, they're biodegradable,
Right.
So did you throw it in a tomb, or
he's did you take the chips out first?
Wait, John said he's buried in one.
Well, his ashes.
Yeah.
Yeah. What do you got, Elise?
I think I'm going to go truth.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think it is a fact. Anybody want to argue?
I say no.
All right, a no for Mary. What's the answer?
It's a fact. Frederick Bauer had himself his ashes put in his a Pringle can.
All right, well, there you go. So, Super Joe, give her two prizes because she actually won. Thank you,
thank
Elise.
You.
Have a great day at school.
And thank you so much.
We'll come back with hour number two of the program in a moment on 720 WGN. Oh, the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom.
I just tune right in on the Cochran Show today to hear what he is saying.
What is he saying?
You never know about something that he said. We'll keep your vote from swaying.
Keep it from swaying, baby.
The analyst with info that you need to know. And you can get it here on 720.
Oh, oh, oh.
Now he's never gonna look at politics, it's simply black and white, yeah. Listen to Pat Brady.
On the road and live from California, here's Pat Brady. Where are you in California?
San Diego, Coronado Island.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah,
no, that's very nice.
I hear that's miserable this time of year.
That's a leper island.
Yes, that's where the lepers are. That's exactly right. Yes, it's a true story. You've got
hi, John.
You've got two Southern California daughters now, right?
I do, Kelly and Grace, and they're out here in San Diego State, so it's all good. It's a great place. But the fun thing was, I drove a car out here over the weekend, and I got to listen to Dave call the game Saturday. They're actually very good. He's a really good announcer. I never get to listen to the radio. I'm usually watching on TV, but it was an exciting game.
Yeah, you should listen to the radio more, not less. I mean, I'm glad. I think you should spend more time in the car. But yeah, the outcome wasn't what we wanted, but Dave's great. That's why he's in 47 different halls of fame. All right, so while you're in California, I'm sure the big talk are these power outages. Pacific Gas and Electric, PG&E, is turning off electricity in Northern California, swaths, huge paths of electricity, for 3 and 4 days at a time. And this is all related to the windstorm that took down power lines and started the campfire last year. Am I right about that?
Yeah, that's what I've read. I'm in Southern California. It didn't affect anything down here, but the state is so large and diverse. I don't think anybody in Southern California has even paid attention to them. But yeah, it's a big story in North. Yeah, big story up there.
Yeah, I mean, we know a lot of people that are there, and I've got friends who are in Northern California, and suddenly their power's out for 4 days. But this is businesses too, right? I mean, they're shutting down hotels and anything.
Yeah, it's terrible. I mean, you think of the impact that has, and there's millions of people in that part of the state, so it's a big deal. But you'd think they'd be able to figure this stuff out by now, but it seems like they do get these rolling outages every once in a while.
So we come back to Illinois. What shape is the state in 1 year into J.B. Pritzker?
Well, if you believe the recent polls, he's pretty popular. There was a poll out that had him close to 60% popularity, which is great. It was kind of a not the greatest poll in the world. It was an internet poll, but I think he's gotten a lot of his agenda through. The 7 or 8 items that he wanted to get done, he got done. And the next big issue will be, in the next session, will be whether or not we're going to do this progressive or graduated income tax.
Will that be passed?
Well, it has to amend the Constitution, so it's a two-step process. It has to go through the legislature, then it has to be voted on. So I don't know. I think it's a 50-50. I'm not sure if the opponents of it can portray it as a tax increase. I don't think it'll have much chance. But if he can be successful and portray it as just a more equitable way to tax in Illinois, in a state that needs money to fund infrastructure and other things, he might be able to do it.
Yeah, we're broke. In case anybody missed the memo, we have no money. The money's got to come from somewhere. But the constant thing you'll hear, and people are driving to work right now thinking this, is why do we have to give more money to the people that mismanage the money and get us into these things?
Yeah, and the big driver of it all, as we've talked about many times, is the pensions. We have these pensions that are underfunded probably the most underfunded pensions in the country, and that's what drives a lot of the debt just on the general operating budget. And the city of Chicago is actually doing very well insofar as business and other things. It's just we have too much pre-existing debt that we need to either restructure or figure out what to do with these pensions. But when the pensions are protected by the Illinois Constitution and the court is dominated by Democrats, the Supreme Court, and those are the only ones that can change the or interpret this law in a different way, we're kind of stuck.
But isn't that a timeline problem, too? Because by the time you get that into court and then process it in court, isn't the clock going to run out on his first term?
Oh, yeah. It's already been in the... insofar as doing it as a legal challenge, it's been challenged many times, and the court said that they can't change the Constitution. And I get the argument that people that are or have been promised pensions deserve what they were promised, but the reality is it's unaffordable. You get a 3% cost of living allowance every year as a state if you have a state pension, and that was actually, I think it was Governor Thompson that put that in the 80s. It's just not sustainable.
Every reasonable solution I've seen, and by the way, it's not sustainable because there's no place that you're earning 3% currently, unless you want to roll the dice in the stock market and see if you can pick a winner. But every reasonable solution I've seen to the pension problem comes down to the same thing, and that is that the money you've earned stays, but those 3% increases go away, and anybody that's new to the system is going to come in at a different level. I don't know why that's an unreasonable solution.
Well, part of it, there have been reforms in the last 4 or 5 years that have fixed somewhat the problem going forward. The problem is the existing pensions and the people that started under that system. But there is a model out there that Senator John Cullerton, the Democrat in the Illinois Senate, the leader of the Democrats in the Illinois Senate, has proposed. They call it a consideration model, which a lot of people think would be legal and is a way to solve at least some of this problem. But the problem was in the House of Representatives, Speaker Madigan didn't like it, so it never got through.
By the way, we want to remind Speaker Madigan he is welcome on the show. I don't want him to miss the opportunity. 1,465 straight days of Madigan not showing up here and not talking to the people that live in the state and that pay his salary. And Mr. Pritzker, you know, I guess I shouldn't question J.B. Pritzker not responding to our invitations because he's at 60% approval. So,
yeah, I think he does. I've listened to him since he's been in. He does a nice job. He's very good. I hope he will come in. I know I talk to his people. I want to at some point. I hope he does. But
I think if somebody's elected, especially in a state so upside down as Illinois, the public needs to hear from them. You know, but I'm funny that way.
I agree.
All right, give me a vote on whether or not this teacher strike is going to happen or not.
I honestly, I'm not sure, but I the one thing on strikes, as we've seen over the years, strikes are very dangerous politically for either side. It's risky territory. You never know how it's going to work out. And I suspect, given what's been in the press about what the teachers are actually getting, that they're going to get 16% raises versus they're bumped up against a mayor who has about a 75% popularity rating. It's a very risky move for the teachers to strike, because if you lose public opinion or public support, that really becomes a problem for you. But you remember when 7 or 8 years ago with Mayor Emanuel, he got into word fights with people in the leadership of the teachers union, and he just wasn't a very sympathetic figure, and the teachers in the world of public opinion, I think, won. But it might be different with Lori Lightfoot.
I got 30 seconds for you to tell me anything you want to tell me about Washington, or in the way of an old game show, you could pass.
I think in Washington that if the end of this, if it comes, I would think that President Trump would resign if he gets impeached. I mean, if the articles come out, I think he resigns.
It's a good hook.
That's my point. I don't know. We'll have to wait and see, but it's quite something, but I haven't done any game shows.
Yeah, well, and the question then would be, would the Democrats have the power, be willing to make a deal that says, no, you won't go to jail. You can just go back to your life of not paying people's bills. All right, thank you.
Yeah, I don't think they can link the two, but yeah, good talking to you guys. See you, John.
Right, see you. Thanks for getting up. That's Pat Brady, wide awake and annoying people at 5:15, live from San Diego.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
It's 7:22. I want to say hi to Eric Edelstein. What's your company, Eric?
AL Media.
Thanks for coming in, as always.
Thanks for having me.
I want to get to your take on the potential teacher strike, because there's people, you know, driving to work right now wondering if there's going to be a strike on Monday and if they have to make alternative plans and things of that nature. But equally important is whether or not Carmen here is going to be married soon, and will he be happy in that relationship?
How long has this been disengaged? I've been listening. I feel like for 5 years you've been talking about this wedding.
Hey,
when's it happening?
Don't be rushing things along over there, Eric. Let's settle down. How many days until November 30th? It's one of my favorite things that I Google every
November
day.
30th is a wedding day?
Yeah.
Well, today.
2019?
Yes.
It would be 51.
Are you sure?
Well, 30 plus 21 is 51.
That's very good, Steve.
Yeah.
I'm impressed.
Yeah.
You're correct. It's 51.
Oh, so it's 51?
My phone says this too. Yes, 51 days.
He had no idea.
He actually used a calculator to add 30 plus 21.
Just wanted to make sure you were correct.
And so I haven't seen you in a couple of weeks. Any bumps in the road?
Oh, not a couple. Maybe so, Steve. Yes, we're working on it, though. We're working through it. Where we, I've actually won one war. I was really proud of myself.
Which is?
We had this sort of this rehearsal dinner that I wasn't completely on board with, and I pushed and pleaded and I got the venue changed.
You begged and cried?
Yes, I wept and I said, "You're getting everything else." And then
you changed it to a sports bar.
Right, we're having it at we're going to Harry Carey's. It's going to be awesome. No, right,
a different location.
Yes, a different spot.
And now that you've won one, you realize that you're not going to win anything else.
Well, it's not a complete win because my idea was, you know, we would have throw a couple appetizers out there, no big deal. People would show up, hang out for a couple hours, leave. Now we've got, there's four appetizers.
So what percentage win are we talking about? Like 60-40?
There's a salmon vesuvio. There's a chicken.
Oh, that's a loss.
Yeah, it's a loss. It's a straight
salmon vesuvio means there's a loss.
Not even a win.
So you lost
vesuvio.
So you lost by less. Is what you're saying. You didn't win. You lost by less.
I think I actually, to be honest, have tied.
That was a quick retreat.
I don't think...
Man, you understand that she played you like a fiddle.
I didn't think you'd mind that there was salmon Vesuvio and chicken Vesuvio and I mean, what we need? Do we really need a double Vesuvio?
You think one Vesuvio is enough?
I think who's ever showing up got to be happy with one Vesuvio.
What if we invite an Italian named Vesuvio? Huh? Now you got three. Now you got trouble.
I mean, Vesuvio might as well show up.
Right. So, look, she's a lovely girl.
Lovely.
You are nothing more. And Eric will back me up on this. So will John, I believe. As married men, you're a guest at this wedding.
Mm-hmm.
You're not a part of this wedding. Yeah. You're a guest. If she could replace you with another dude better looking in a tux, she'd probably do it.
That's what I've been saying, Steve. That's why I'm not wearing a tux.
So my point is, why stress? Why not just go with the flow? Allow the day to happen. Don't make faces.
Mark, enjoy not stress. The day. Mark Carmen?
Did you get me the name?
He's a little stress ball.
Did you get me the names for the invitations? No. Do you know when this... are you going to be available next Thursday for this? When is it? Are you going to be ready for dance class? Dance class? Well, I'll be there. I mean, you don't just do what you just said there, Steven.
Is your first song Su-Su-Suvio?
What's going to be... That's the whole thing, too. What's the song?
We don't know. I'm writing it.
But the problem is, it doesn't have to be an argument. Why don't you just agree with what she wants to do?
I just wish you could see Eric's face. It's pretty hilarious.
It just brings back a fond memory. When we had our first dance, my mother-in-law turned to my father and said, "You know they took lessons," to which my father said, "They overpaid."
Hilarious! Burn!
Oh, that's sweet. That's just
a great memory.
Steve has said this before. At least I did not plan my wedding. I didn't have a scrapbook when I was growing up and going,
did
oh
you
my
elope?
God, someday. No, we got married. I'm just saying, it wasn't that important.
Well, but here's the thing. John's underplaying this a little bit because there was a point where John and Eric and I would be laying on our tummies on the floor with our hands and our chin, flipping through Groom magazine, just trying to decide which tux we would have someday. And that's why I want to get this show, Say Yes to the Tux on the air. Will it be blue hilarious. Or will it be black? Blue, black, blue, black. But yes, generally speaking, I mean, we didn't have any money. There was no planning. It was like, here, you're going to have it here.
Gotcha.
We didn't even have a dime.
I do find, I'm probably totally opposite of what everyone feels, but I find the dance a little awkward. Even if I got married, I wouldn't do the dance. And I also wouldn't sometimes it's a little awkward to even watch the dance.
Okay, but this
honest.
Again, this marriage is not for you.
No, I know. I'm just saying. Yeah.
You, as well as the bride, have to put up with some things that you wouldn't necessarily want to do. Well, otherwise, people are going to go,
at this point,
why was there no dance?
Yeah. Did you have input on the first song?
I have input. I don't actually. Let me rephrase that. I have no input.
He's 0-0.
Well,
he's caved so fast.
Now, for a while, you were locked in on Tone Loc and Wild Thing. Are you still there?
I gave a suggestion on one song, and it was roundly thrown to the.
What song?
I wanted to do Golden Heart, a little Mark Knopfler, which no one's ever heard of, and it's kind of long. Right, see, there you go.
But it sounds sweet, though.
If you want me to come to this wedding, you won't play any Dire Straits.
That's not nice, Steve. You should get on board with all the songs that we're going to play. And Mark Knopfler, it's in the end of his career. No. So it's not really Dire Straits.
You can't always get what you want.
Jay Giles, Love Stinks.
Money for nothing, chicks for free. You don't think that'll go?
The most popular wedding song right now is Perfect.
Perfect.
See, Edwin, what's his
you
name?
You look perfect.
Oh, no. Ed Sheeran. I don't want anything Ed Sheeran.
No one's perfect here. Yeah, we're not doing perfect.
That's a bad standard to start the wedding with.
Right.
It's all downhill from there.
Are you going to be able to live up to that song for the rest of the marriage?
You took dance classes. You could do a great waltz to that song. It's really good.
How about Muskrat Love?
See, we lowered our expectations.
Wow, Steve.
Our song was Let's Stay Together. I mean, it's sort of not that aspirational,
but it's
a great song.
It's just not Let's Stay
Together. It's one of the greatest songs
ever.
Let's
Stay Together.
We don't have to stay in love. We don't even have to like each other. Let's just stay together.
From the album Let's Take a Shot, Who Knows?
is it bad that I don't remember what mine was?
No.
Do you remember, Steve?
I don't even remember much of the wedding.
Isn't that beautiful?
That's what you want for your wedding?
She's got the golden heart, man.
You know, there's a thing we say in stand-up comedy where you walk the audience. Because you play this song, there's people going to be getting up, throwing down their napkins, and leaving the reception.
Why? It's pretty. It's kind of fast.
Look at that right there. Nice spinner around.
So what'd you pick?
I like it.
What'd you pick?
Very
romantic.
You know
what? We can do a mini phone poll here. What's the worst wedding song idea ever? 312-981-7200.
Mark Cartman's second choice was Philadelphia by Bruce Springsteen.
The favorite in the clubhouse right now is Hungry Eyes, John DeCasse, which is just so not.
Why would you have a song about lust in front of parents?
Right. We love singing Hungry Eyes together, Steve.
Very romantic.
It is?
I mean, I think, yeah.
How about Hot Legs, Rod Stewart? Who's that knocking on my door? It's got to be 3:45. Is that you again coming around for more? I think the grandparents would love that.
Anything's on the table right now, Steve. Hot Legs, Stewart, got it.
312-981-7200 if you have an idea of the worst wedding song Mark could pick. At 7:30, we are going to do the headlines next. We'll come back, or right now. Okay, we'll do the headlines here, and then we'll come back and get... a take on or two from Eric Edelstein on whether or not we're going to have a teacher strike, because that's almost as important as Mark's wedding. But now the news.
You ran campaigns, Party Democratic. Clinton, Gore, and Bobby Rush, victory automatic. 720 voice, you call Chicago your town. How can someone so successful choose to root for the Browns? You run the firm called Edelstein, enlisted media, politician, guide, encyclopedia. They'll all be fine, cause they're all with Edelstein. Eric Edelstein.
Of the 57 songs you've done for the show?
I think it is, yeah.
That's top five for me. That might be top three for me.
That's one of my favorite. I thoroughly enjoy doing that.
Anybody can rhyme Edelstein, dude. Like, that's just...
You don't like this song?
It's awesome.
Oh, okay, got it.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's the lyrics. So. There's meaningful lyrics.
Yeah. And this song, by the way, is the only reason your mother talks to you.
It's the wedding song.
It's just, it was icy for a while there.
Yeah. Eric has a famous actor brother. Why don't we plug his career a little more? What's he on now?
He is on Chicago PD.
And what's his character?
He plays the superintendent of police.
Okay. Yeah. And mom has always liked him best? Is that where you're going with this?
I did. I got in trouble when we were little because I said he would. I made some joke about him being adopted.
Oh.
So it's all been downhill.
Well, on behalf of all the adoptees like me, we're very offended.
And my mother was adopted.
Oh, your mom was adopted?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
it's not a bad thing.
That.
It's not like a disease.
Not at all. Of course, it's a wonderful thing.
Right.
I was an idiot kid saying it.
So. Yeah. And you just came out of Grounded after the song came out?
Oh, I got in big trouble, yeah.
Yeah. So the song is good as well.
Well, the song salvaged the relationship with my mom. Yeah.
Okay, that's good. All right, back to the real world. Lori Lightfoot, as mayor, has seemed to gotten a fair amount of support and popularity. Yes, no?
Oh, very much so. I think Pat mentioned the 70% approval rating. I've seen some numbers that show her very strong. People are giving her the benefit of the doubt. They see that she's trying, and she's got big challenges.
Much like the state, the city's broke. And the city has to figure out ways to pay for it.
Right.
Much like the state, people who live in the state and, of course, the state, the city being in the state, are also going, why would we give the city more money to mismanage and misspend? How much power does the mayor of the city of Chicago have over to actually control that?
Control the narrative or control the money?
Well, the narrative they can control, but control the actual spending of the money.
Well, you're limited. You've got all these other sort of quasi-city entities. You get Chicago Public Schools, you got the Park District, you get CTA. It's an impossible job. And anybody who wants to be mayor and is doing the job, we should applaud because it is thankless and it is difficult. Having said that, I think she's doing a terrific job. You know, this. I sure hope there's not a strike. I don't think it helps anyone. It's terrible for the school kids and the families of Chicago. And, you know, look, the thing I'd say to CTU, and it gets a little complicated because they were so anti-Lightfoot, pro-Preckwinkle. So, in a sense, they were her political enemies going into this. I hope they're bargaining in good faith, and I think they are. But there's the world as you'd like it to be, and there's the world as it is. And we have to deal with the world as it is. And if you're the mayor of the city of Chicago, as Mayor Lightfoot is, she's got to deal with all these challenges. And, a teacher strike, I think, would be devastating for the city. But I think it would be really bad politics for CTU to go down that road.
I say this as a union member for 30-plus years, the Screen Actors Guild and AFTRA. Is the union mishandling this and misleading people?
I'm not going to go that far. What I will say is, it's got to be done from the perspective of the kids and the teachers. And yes, Chicago Public School teachers also have impossible jobs, and they're doing wonderful work. And they should be safe, and they should be paid, and they should be rewarded for their jobs. But sometimes I think the unions, the CTU in particular, loses sight of who they're representing, and it becomes about profile and spectacle and politics when it should be about the kids and the teachers.
One of the things teachers are fighting for, which does seem fair if the goal is to actually educate kids in the best possible way, is smaller class sizes.
Yeah.
That costs more money.
Sure.
Because smaller class sizes mean you need more teachers.
Right.
How do you get that done?
Cost money. And something else has to give. You know, there's really two things that we know do make schools better: smaller class sizes, and, you know, there's been this talk of longer school days. But both of those things cost money. Teachers shouldn't be expected to stay longer in school without being paid more, and I think that's one of the beefs that CTU has. I do think there can be more help from Springfield. I do think we have a Democratic legislature, Democratic governor, as much as the problems the state of Illinois has. I do think there should be more help. Chicago is the engine that drives this state, despite the politics of, you know, downstate thinking that, oh, Chicago is this and Chicago is that. And I do think there's going to need to be some help. I also think, once this gaming thing moves forward and once the recreational marijuana comes online, there will be additional revenue sources. They're not going to solve every problem, but I think they will be helpful. But at this moment, everyone's going to have to give a little.
I think the problem we all have is we oversimplify this stuff, and it's very complicated because there's competing agendas on all fronts.
For sure.
People say, fix my problem, but don't take any of my stuff.
Right.
That's not realistic.
It's not. It's like I said, there's the world as you'd like it to be, and there's the world as it is. And you got to deal with the world as it is. And, you know, the world as it is kids need to go to school. And parents who have jobs who can't take off if their kids aren't in school have to go to work. So it would be a disaster for the city. And I know the mayor will do everything she can within reason to keep CTU from making that mistake.
The charter school fight that continues to go on, charter versus public, charter gets this, we don't get that.
Yeah.
Is that politics or is that a real problem?
You know, it's an oversimplified political statement because there's some charter schools that are good and there's some charter schools that aren't, just like there's some public schools that are good
right.
and some public schools that aren't. You have to take it on a case-by-case basis. There's also some charter schools that have unionized workforces. So, you know, the sort of broad brush of all charters good, all charters bad, it's not true. You have to go case-by-case.
The grading of the teachers was a big issue for CTU. Is that still on the table?
I don't know if that's still on the table. That's a good question. I don't know that they've responded to that. I do think the sort of...
It seems perfectly fair that bad teachers shouldn't be able to stick around.
Right. It's an old fight on tenure and on the way you remove teachers. You know, it's something that's been discussed for a long time. I don't know that that's really the crux of this fight. I think it really is more economics.
Well, you've been in a million of these rooms where these types of things are discussed and negotiated or talked about from a political standpoint as well. What has to happen between now and Monday?
I think there has to be, as the mayor said, let's get in a room and not leave until this thing gets solved. And it seems like CTU, for whatever reason, has been unwilling to do that. I think, as Pat mentioned, you know, in the court of public opinion, I think the mayor's winning. I mean, she said, look, let's prevent this from happening. Let's reward teachers. 16% is a generous raise, given the city doesn't have any money. And let's work out the other issues that may be a problem. And you may not get everything you want, but I'm willing to work with you.
Politics is the number one story in the world.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you have 10 or 15 minutes where Trump's not a headline, he will be soon.
Right.
Any 5 years ago, 6 years ago, seven, I guess now in 2012, this was front page, top of mind,
yeah,
every single day.
Right.
Is this story getting buried?
It's certainly not what it would be, Steve. I mean, the spectacle that we're going through in these times with this president is unprecedented. It's why, you know, the movie Joker is the number one movie. It speaks to these times, which are just depressing and horrifying and beyond reason. And I think that's what we are in. And so a teacher strike is sort of like ho-hum. As big a deal and as devastating as that would be for those families, it just gets pushed to the side because of the train wreck that is Donald Trump.
360,000 Chicago students would not be in school starting as soon as, what, Tuesday?
Yeah. With all alternative programs for them.
Yeah, that's a major problem.
Right. And if you're a single parent,
what do you do?
Who has a job and can't take off and has a younger kid, it's a trickle down.
Well, that's the thing, because I don't blame the employers either. I mean, employer could be a good person and say, okay, take a couple days, hopefully this will be gone, but eventually I need you to be here to do your job.
Yeah, I got to run my business.
Right.
So it would be devastating for the city. I hope it doesn't come to that.
And if Mayor Lightfoot's goal is to just get people in a room, that seems reasonable.
It is. And look, she's a reasonable person and she's a straight shooter. She doesn't have an old, you know, some sort of hidden agenda. She wants to get this done. She wants to reward teachers, but she has to do it in a way that's fair to taxpayers. And, you know, again, her job, it's really difficult. The job of teachers, really, really difficult. But I'm hopeful they can work together and get this done.
More coming up. Stand by. That's Eric Edelstein. John DeCoss is here as well. And we're getting a bunch of people suggesting potential wedding songs that Mark Carman should not bring up to his fiancée. So we'll grab a couple of those, too. Stand by. It is 7:50. Steve Cochran Show continues. You know, I've seen people on the street in different places in Prague, and they say, Steve, and I say, what? And then we talk about things. They go, don't you get tired of talking about politics? Yeah. 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 But it is the number one story in the world, and I would not be doing my job if at least we weren't telling you what's going on. But let's limit it here, because I really want to get to this list of Mark Carman's wedding songs that he shouldn't bring up. What's happening in Syria is an absolute outrage, and it appears that Republican senators are finally stepping up to say to the president, you are so far over the line here, it's ridiculous. At the same time, you have the parallel line where, even though there's been an investigation, it's perfectly legitimate to ask Joe Biden to give another explanation or a further explanation of why this wasn't blatant nepotism, and what does that mean for him as a president? Where are we on this? I don't see any other path other than the impeachment goes forward. Pat Brady earlier said he thinks Trump resigns.
I think impeached. We are careening fast to impeachment, and the White House stonewalling Congress. You know, I hope that the media doesn't give an equivalency to, oh, the Congress has subpoenaed the White House. White House is fighting it. Because that's like saying if you were charged in a crime and you walked into court and you said to the judge, I don't believe in the authority of this court.
Yeah, exactly.
Or the laws that have arrested me.
Yeah.
And so, you know, Trump is playing, as he always does, a very dangerous game. And
well, I would also say, too, that maybe a more stark example, if you fully support Donald Trump and everything he says and does, good for you. However, if you are held up on the street tomorrow and the person who holds you up goes into court and pulls the line you just said,
yeah,
that's the equivalent of what we're talking about
exactly.
That's going on out of the White House.
Exactly. So, and I think it's a bad miscalculation on the Trump's part, on the White House's part, because it's going to become another article of impeachment. They're going to be obstructing justice. They're going to be in contempt of Congress and, you know, not letting these witnesses testify. You know, look what's happening to public opinion. There was even a Fox News poll that shows more people are for impeachment than were before. He's losing this battle.
1% in the Fox, let that sink in the Fox News poll, 51% yeah. Say not just impeach, remove from office.
That's up 7 points from the last time they did that poll. So, look, I think this thing's moving fast. I think you will see votes before the end of the year. And I think this is one of those metastasizing crises that this president cannot control.
Yeah, and again, you don't like talking about it. I don't like talking about it.
No.
The American people don't like hearing about it, but
no.
People are sick of all of it, and now they're angry.
I do it for a living, and I get sick of it.
Yeah. All right, Mark, we have a tremendous amount of listener help that has come in for you on songs you should not bring up to your fiance as the first wedding song choice. Would you like to hear a few?
That's great, Steve. I'd love to.
Rod Stewart, First Cut is the Deepest. Love on the Rocks, Neil Diamond.
Mm-hmm.
The full 10-minute version of Paradise by the Dashboard Light, including featuring Phil Rizzuto.
Meatloaf.
Six row. I was at a wedding. Groom picked the first dance song. Didn't go well. It was AC/DC. You Shook Me All Night Long.
It's a great choice.
708, Worst Wedding Song, Here I Go Again by Whitesnake. 847, Freebird. 815, Like a Virgin. Here's one that's problematic. 847, Torn Between Two Lovers, where you yell out old girlfriends' names while you're dancing.
Mm-hmm.
847, Another One Bites the Dust. 815, I Hate Everything About You by Ugly Kid Joe. 815, Roxanne.
I like Roxanne.
Roxanne! I don't think so.
Chelsea. I could sing it out there.
630, AC/DC, Highway to Hell. 708, Steve, worst possible wedding song. If you want to be happy for the rest of your life, get an ugly girl to be your wife. That's from a texter named Donna.
Come on, Donna. This is a loving show, right?
I'm going to edit the next one just slightly. 815, Jimmy Buffett, Let's Get Drunk and Do It. Do it is not the word that's actually in the song. 6 year, Guns N' Roses, I Used to Love Her. I don't know that song.
Oh, it's a good one.
Okay. 815, again, this...
815's coming in.
815, To All the Girls I've Loved Before.
You could do Adele's Hello.
Yeah, there you go. Screaming Painful. 815, Tainted Love. 815, I Will Survive. 708, Bruce Springsteen, Trapped.
Great song.
These, again, if you're just turning it on, worst wedding song ideas that we're trying to... And by the way, we're trying to give these to you, Mark, so you don't bring them up. We're trying to help you.
We got dance class tomorrow, Steve, so if we could just boil down your top three, maybe I would, you know...
Here's one that'd be a real shocker and a conversation starter for everybody coming to the wedding. 630, You're Having My Baby.
Oh, jeez.
708, I Still Haven't Found What I'm Looking For. You too.
Chelsea might agree.
815, I Like Big Butts.
I was thinking about that too.
Right? Creates a good dance. 630, I Can't Say That One. 414, Fat Bottom Girls.
What's with all the big butt things? Is that from the bustle and the dress?
Yes, that's exactly what it is.
Yes, yeah.
The bustle. Yes, that's exactly what it is. In 630, and I've, you know, Eric, you've been to a wedding like this. John, I'm sure you have as well. I have. For a long time, Whitney Houston, I Will Always Love You, was a big wedding song.
Well,
here's the problem. Yeah. It's about saying goodbye and never seeing each other again. By the way, this particular wedding, they got a divorce 5 years later. And finally, a sensitive romantic song, and Eric, you and I have talked about this many times in other contexts, Save a Horse, Ride a Cowboy.
Jackie and I, our first dance was Dead Skunk in the Middle of the Road.
Crossing the Highway Late Last Night. Remember that? Ah, it's classic. That was a big Bob Collins sing. Bob Collins loved that song.
I think I do remember that.
Eric Adelstein, where do you work again?
AL Media.
All right, that's the official AL Media of the Steve Cochran Show. Let's cross our fingers and hope you're right that they'll come to a deal this weekend. And thank you, as always, for being here.
Thanks for having me.
All right, we're back with the news coming up, 720 WGN, Northwestern Medicine Newsroom.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you.
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, honey, you know I love you more than what I should. Yeah, Hollywood, or kiss me, kiss me.
809, we go to Moron Entertainment. I sent Dean the new headshots, and in our case, double headshots. Potential promotional shots. Because, you know, all of Hollywood is demanding. They're saying, when are we going to get pictures of you guys that we can use promotionally for Moron Entertainment?
Entertainment Weekly's called many times. Mm-hmm.
Mugs, T-shirts, posters?
Yep.
Exactly. I think you're confused. We got, it was a smaller publication. It's Entertainment Bi-Monthly. And it's strictly print. They don't have a website.
I'm holding my Moron Cozy.
Oh, yeah. That is your Moron Cozy.
Yeah, Hardware Weekly called. I don't know exactly why.
I think you're going to enjoy the picture, whatever form it takes, because Dean and I are, picture of us is from behind.
I was laughing out loud when you sent those to me yesterday.
It looks like a battle of the hair rings from behind.
Yep. Some horseshoe company ought to sponsor those pictures, because that's what our hair looks like from the back.
And again, I want to thank everybody who continues to shout Moron on the street. I assume you're talking to Dean or me.
Yep.
So, a question came up this morning from Mark Carmen. What's the worst idea for a wedding song? Mm. And we've had a tremendous list from the listeners coming in. Here's one that I don't think you should suggest. Frank Sinatra, The Lady is a Tramp.
Not good.
Classy, but yet still.
Right.
I wanted to say, I forgot to say this. Dean, on Saturday night, both shows, I was approached by people who love the Moron Entertainment section. Oh. But here's the funny part. The second one asked me, and seriously asked me, so you're an apprentice, what do you do to no longer be an apprentice?
Program?
Like, I was just laughing, going, well, it's not a real thing.
It's not?
No. Yes, it is, Dean. I'm sorry.
What?
Right. It's a real thing that has no meaning whatsoever. So
it does to me.
all right. Well, let's jump in here, because there's plenty of show business to talk about, and I'm going to be gone tomorrow.
I'm going to be in New York tomorrow.
I'll be on the way to Pinehurst, North Carolina, so I'll bring you back a needle, pine needle.
That's nice. I'll bring you back.
Me back a bad attitude. Hey, I'm walking here. What are you doing in New York?
Said hooker almost. That seems wrong for breakfast.
Yeah, probably so.
I'll bring you back a hooker.
I don't think so. First off, you can't force.
Oh boy,
you can't force them to get on the plane.
He's joking. They're joking.
Yeah. Interestingly enough, I'll be with three hookers in North Carolina, but I'm using that in golf terms.
Nice. So I'm going to be interviewing Alec Baldwin.
Wow!
Over the weekend, he's got a new movie coming out.
Now, what is that like on a junket? Do you get moody, Alec, or do you get nice, Alec?
He's always been very nice every time that I've interviewed him.
But is it because he's you? Does he treat the people he doesn't know well?
It's definitely because it's Dean. As somebody who's done these junkets and not been Dean, you can get moody. Whoever,
right?
Yeah,
he's He starts off, all business, and I can see where it would be intimidating interviewing him, because he's all business, and he's got that Alec Baldwin look on his face.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know,
how long is this going to take, idiot?
It does. It's like, aren't we done yet? But then you start goofing around with him, and he starts goofing back, and of course I'm going to ask him to do his Tony Bennett impersonation. It's my favorite thing in the world, and he loves All I got to do is put a quarter in the slot, and he goes crazy with that.
Isn't it funny how, like, Caliendo was on with you guys. He's coming in here in a few minutes. My favorite Frank Caliendo impression is when he does Jeff Goldblum buying a hot dog.
He would, yeah.
You know, these off-the-beaten-path impressions are good. Because, yeah, I hadn't thought about Tony Bennett, but his Tony Bennett is better than Tony Bennett.
Oh, it's fantastic. When Caliendo gets there, he's been taking his daughter to these Comic-Con shows.
Okay.
Josh Brolin was at one of them, Thanos, from the Avengers movies.
Yeah.
And Brolin told him that his impression of George W. Bush in the movie that Brolin did on the former president is based on Caliendo's impression.
Wow.
He told him that.
That's hilarious.
So then he's doing Robert Downey Jr. talking with Jeff Goldblum at Comic-Con. I was crying laughing. He was, oh my gosh, he was so funny.
Yeah, there's something desperately wrong with Frank. He's in town this weekend. And you worked with Frank, haven't you, John?
Oh, many times, yeah. When he started out. So from Milwaukee.
All right, let me throw a couple things at you. Kevin Hart's working already?
He just had that terrible accident a month ago in which he had spinal surgery for 3 fractures of the spine. But he was seen on the set of the new Jumanji movie that they're making. Very, very light workload, very short work day. He's able to walk on his own, but not walking very much. But at least he's up and around and, getting around on his own.
Yeah, that's promising. I saw a headline from you. Dean passes notes on before this segment. This must be a
you
typo.
Mean this is not spontaneous?
Oh yeah, sure it is. But this must be a typo because what I have is Kim Kardashian meets with Armenian president.
Yeah, no typo as it turns out. Turns out that's exactly correct.
Oh boy,
she's met with our president. Why not meet with the president of Armenia as well? She took her three of her children to Armenia to be baptized in a very famous cathedral there. That's where her family is from. That's her religion. So she took her kids to be baptized there. But while she was there, you know, when you're in a foreign country, you should have done this in Prague last week. While you're there, you meet with the president of the country.
Sure.
While you're there, she met and had dinner with Armin Sarkeesian and Prime Minister Nikol Pashinyan. And they had a nice dinner. What came out of it on Instagram, the prime minister posted a selfie with her. He looks absolutely giddy to be standing with her. He's like total fanboy look on his face and said, we have made deal with Kardashian that she visit Armenia more often.
Wow. Well, that's charming.
Even though that's my Russian.
It's close enough. And you mentioned the president of the Czech Republic last week. Our tour guide was great, Peter. But Peter, not a fan of the president, and spent about 20 minutes while we were walking around the castle complex talking about what a drunk the president is.
Oh, that's nice.
And he doesn't know anybody that voted for him.
That's a little scary, isn't it? Because you feel like you're going to get arrested when someone's talking like that.
I said, hey, man, I'm just here to storm the castle. And we got a celebrity real estate listing coming up. We've got Ozzy Osbourne news. Of course we do. Rihanna news. It's all coming up. More with more on entertainment.
You'll be calling his name. Dean Richard, the entertainment editor.
All right, back to Dean at Channel 9.
You know what? I wanted to mention something. We're getting, all of a sudden yesterday, an avalanche of response. This past Sunday, we talked about on my radio show how the WGN Sunday morning crew is going to be walking in the Alzheimer's Walk, which is October 26th.
Okay.
So me, Dave Schwann, and Andy Mazur, we're all going to walk, and we're inviting people to join our team and come and walk with us.
Oh,
and
good.
Hang out with us. Or go on the website and make a donation to fight Alzheimer's. That's what it's all about. So if you go to ALZ.org, you can join the team, come walk with us. I guarantee I'm going to insult Schwanny for the entire 5K
right.
that we're going to walking. I think I have that in me. I'm going to be carb loading the day before so I can insult him that nonstop that entire time.
And here's the weird thing, and Dean will back me up on this. He's the nicest guy.
Yeah.
But there's something about Schwanny that just makes you want to pick on him.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is.
It's lovable. It's lovable that way. But if you go to on ALZ.org, search WGN Sunday morning, it'll take you right to the page, and you can either join the team or donate. And thank you, everybody, who are signing up to walk with us, and lots of people donating money. We really appreciate it.
We continue with more on entertainment, and suggestions continue to come in by text 312-981-7200 on really bad ideas for a wedding song for Mark Carmen. Mambo number five.
I love Mambo number five. Yeah. It's a great idea.
That would require a serious, you know, study of dance.
Not as much as this one. The Battle Hymn of the Republic.
That would require some serious marching.
All right, back after it here. Rihanna.
Linda Ronstadt's You're No Good.
Oh, yeah. Feeling better now that we're through.
Yep.
Yeah. What's the Rihanna news?
Rihanna has revealed in a Vogue magazine article, because that's all I ever read.
Yeah, me too.
that she was offered to do the Super Bowl halftime show last year. That's the one Maroon 5 and Travis Scott and Big Boy wound up doing.
Yep.
But she was offered and turned it down because of the Colin Kaepernick controversy. Said that she felt like she would be a hypocrite if she did it, because she agrees with Colin Kaepernick about taking a knee for racial, what he calls racial injustice, and didn't want to be a part of it.
Is she up for it this year? Oh, no, Jennifer Lopez.
Jennifer Lopez, right? And Shakira.
You know what I don't say about Shakira? I don't know if you've heard this, but her hips do not lie.
Do not
They're
lie.
Very honest hips.
Very truthful.
What's up with Ozzy?
Ozzy.
Sharon!
Has canceled. That's why I hesitate to ever bring up Ozzy Osbourne, no matter what the story. He has canceled his entire European tour. He had surgery recently. He fell down and was fairly seriously injured, and says now he's got screws and bolts all over him. I've always said that there may have been some screws and bolts.
Yeah. Well, we know they were loose.
Apparently, they tightened everything up a little bit. And he is physically not able to do the tour, so he's canceled that. He does have a U.S. tour next year.
Jared!
But it will not be coming to the U.S., so we will not need to hear that all next year, I'm hoping.
Moving on to the big story, and that is celebrity real estate. I don't know if everybody knows this, but Dean could give a rat's butt about show business.
Couldn't care less.
Does not care at all.
Couldn't care less. That's not my main bread and butter.
No, what you love more than anything is what?
Digging my teeth into a honey of a deal. And I have got one for you today.
Tell people what you're wearing.
This is my favorite.
I am wearing my Century 21 yellow sport coat that I wear.
Yeah.
This is what I wear when I show listings.
And remember, that's a 38 regular.
Yep, and it's got the big Century 21 right on the pocket. So
brown,
people know that
brown
I'm
and
just,
gold forever.
Yeah, so people, I've had it 30, 40 years. It still looks brand new. But here's the story. You know, Larry King, unfortunately, is in the middle of his seventh divorce now.
Divorce attorney, hello.
Hello. Time to sell the mansion. So he's got a beautiful home in Beverly Hills.
You know why they're getting divorced? He needs a little me time. He's 85. He needs some time to himself.
Some time to himself. This, Steve, is an 11,000 square foot home.
That's weird, because he's small.
Larry King has not even been in 2,000 of those square feet.
I was gonna say.
In the house. It's five bedrooms.
Servants' quarters, hello.
It's got a two-bedroom guest house. It's got a pool. It's got a spiral staircase. Steve, the listing price for this house, just under $17 million.
Now, do any of the wives come with the house? Because they could be hiding. He could have wives hidden all over that house.
Yeah, you know, I can't guarantee you. An inspector would have to check the home before we close on it to make sure that he hasn't left any ex-wives around anywhere.
So $17
million. $17
million. You know, when I was
King mansion can be yours.
I've never had less cash on me. When I was in Prague, I tried to buy the castle, the famous castle in Prague.
Yep.
And I had 200 American dollars at one point, which is the equivalent of $1.8 million crowns. And they turned it down. So the castle is still owned by the Czech Republic. However, I'm cash poor today, but I still think I can make a legitimate offer. And honestly, Larry needs the cash right now because he's about to pay alimony to eight different women.
Hey, these suspenders don't buy themselves.
So I've got $18, Dean. I've got $18.
Okay. It's a start.
$18 I'd like to put down on a bid for an
11. $34. I got $34.
John, we're up to $52.
Carm?
$78, Dean.
Wow. They have $78?
Wow.
I
just want to support.
He's paying for the dance.
I don't really
have
it,
today.
But I just, you know.
That's $130. Anybody else?
$3.
G?
I got $3.
Jean's part of a very limited partnership. She has $3.
I just pickpocketed
Bennett, I have $80 to use.
$80. Yeah, 80. Yep. All right, so we're up to 213.
Sweet.
Bennett is $80?
He does. Well, not anymore.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm back on the Jerry Lewis telethon. Can we get a double on that? Can we?
We're at 213, and Vivian is so stressed this morning, she doesn't even want to talk about bidding. So we're at $213, Dean. And you know what I like to say at a time like this? It's cash money, homie.
I'm writing it down right now. What is it?
$213.
$213. Hello, Larry.
$213. You think Larry pretends he has a show in that house?
He sits at a table waiting for someone to come and sit across from him.
Aww. Do you have any amenities listed for that house? I'm sure there's a Wolf Blitzer suite from his old days at CNN, that kind of thing.
Yeah, I have a limited listing sheet in front of me right now, but it's a beautiful, beautiful home.
And where is it in L.A.?
In Beverly Hills.
It says he's still worth $150 million.
It's not bad. Not bad for a guy that once went to jail for writing bad checks, if I remember correctly. Yeah, I think that's right.
I think he'll take the $213 bid.
Yeah, I mean, why wouldn't he? Cash money, homie. As Larry King likes to say, straight up, bro.
I just picture him wrapping, like, plates and newspaper right now.
He's moving out.
God, I hate doing this.
He's a nice guy. He really is a nice guy.
I just opened up the listing here on our realtors website that we realtors look at.
Realtors.
Realtors. There is a skylight foyer on the house. And a master suite with a sitting room and twin bathrooms.
Well, you know, you got twin bathrooms at that age. You know, if it doesn't work in one, you can always try the other.
Yeah, you can. That's where you have your next wife in waiting. She has her own separate bathroom.
Well, listen, it's great talking to you. And
Long weekend, will you?
It's Dean, is it?
It is Dean, yes.
All right. More on entertainment. We'll continue. I'm back on Tuesday.
Yep.
All right, buddy.
Yep.
See you.
Yep.
And.
Okay.
And your Chicago Blackhawks. Every single game. Well, where would you go but here? Hawks try to get back to 500 in this early 2019-2020 season. And Mark Carmen, you were asking me off the air earlier, what did you like about what you saw? Well, Prague's beautiful. And the Hawks had a lot of positives in that first game. And I was really impressed with Ali Mata, the new defenseman, who is healthy and was everywhere. Exact right spot when he needed to be. Really aggressive defensively. He looks very promising.
How about a 3-week homestand starting here, Steve? 7 games.
I don't remember one this long.
Neither do I. It's a great chance for the Hawks to get off to a great start. And last year, they obviously did not do that, had multiple 8-game losing streaks in the first half of the season.
Well, we talked about this last week, and I don't know if you know this. Last week, they missed the playoffs. Super Joe, what did the Hawks miss the playoffs by 3 points last year? Was it 2?
Yeah, that sounds right. I'll confirm.
The point of this being, they had 2 8-game losing streaks, as you said. In those 2 8-game losing streaks, they had 1 overtime tie. They had 1 point in 16 games, which is what, 20% of the season? 1/5 of the season, they had 1 point. You win 2 games out of those 16, or you have 2 or 3 ties, you're in the playoffs.
Yeah, and for the record, the goal is to do more than just, you know, make them playoffs, although anything can happen once you get in, and the Blackhawks were playing a whole lot better in the second half last year. But a lot of interesting storylines going on right now, Steve. I mean, Corey Crawford's in his last year of his deal. Robin Leonard's on a 1-year deal. How does Jeremy Colleton manage that? I mean, all these games in this homestand, there's no back-to-backs. So these guys are not going to be tired. You ride a hot hand, you go back and forth, and these are tough questions to answer.
Well, Stan's got it. Everybody possible on this team that was needed. And, you know, there's nobody you go, well, if we only had somebody for this position or that position. They missed playoffs by 6 points. But again, just a handful of wins in those 16 games could have changed things.
Are you going out to there tonight, Steve? I know you're...
I will not make... You know, it's funny you say that, because this is the first home opener I'll miss in, I believe, 10 years.
Aw.
Yeah.
Well, you got it.
I talked to the Hawks yesterday. Turns out they're still going to have the game.
Without you.
Yeah, it's crazy. We're standing by for Coach Jeremy Colliton, who should be joining us any minute now. And we'll get some perspective from him on what he saw, what he liked, and what he's working on.
Because the really funny thing last week when you were in Prague, we talked to Coach before we talked to you, and we asked Coach if he had seen you, and he said no. And then when we talked to you, you were like, I just ran into him.
Yeah, he saw me, and he said, I was just talking about you, but I didn't know it was to you guys.
Yeah.
as I ran into him on the streets of Prague. Anyway, Coach Colliton standing by. Is he good to go? Yes. All right, let me go there right now and talk to the coach. Good morning, Coach. How are you?
Good morning. How are you?
I never asked you, did you buy any souvenirs when I saw you on the street there in Prague?
I got a little picture for my wife. So yeah, I did.
Picture of the city?
Picture of the Charles Bridge.
Yeah. It's a cool town. I don't know how much walking around you got to do, but where I saw you is pretty much deep in tourist territory. And it's a beautiful city. I mean, I'd recommend it. I assume you felt the same.
Yeah, I had to work quick that day, you know.
Yeah, well, I was a little concerned. I was a little concerned, but, you know, you were very cool about the whole thing, as you are. All right, so let's start with the positives. Tell me what you saw that you liked last week in Prague.
Well, I liked that we stuck together. You know, we went down, and I don't think we're playing very well, but we stuck with it and found a way to get ourselves back in the game. That's the one positive I took away. I'd say the other positive is we didn't play very well and ended up 4-3. So we expect to be much better tonight and in a lot of different areas. So hopefully that'll add up to a victory.
Yeah, a lot of turnovers in the wrong end and a little bit of what felt like, not panicky play, but guys feeling like they needed to get rid of the puck quickly. But you know what I heard from a lot of fans, and I don't need to tell you this, Coach, because you get suggestions from fans every time you turn around. But why so many passes on the power play? Why not more shots?
Well, I'm not sure we got a lot of zone time on the power play. I think we got on the first power play, we got in clean, but they broke it up pretty quickly. And then the second time, and then we didn't get in. And then the second power play, we only had 20 seconds, and we scored right away. So I don't think we had zone time where I could say we moved the puck too much. We'd like to get in the zone and establish that pressure, and we'll go from there. So
you don't feel like the guys are
one and a half power plays,
and you scored.
Probably not enough to make too much of an assessment.
Yeah, so you're not concerned about too much cautiousness when it comes to getting rid of the puck, shooting the puck.
No.
Okay.
No.
Let me introduce you to a young man named Mark Carman, a fine sports broadcaster who I'm sure you've met at one point or another. Say hi to Coach.
Jeremy, good morning. Good morning. Thanks. Great to talk to you, and thanks for being on. How are you looking at the goaltender situation with all these home games and days off between? Are you trying to find a hot guy right now, or trying to more, you know, give both guys an opportunity early in the season?
Yeah, they'll both play. It's one of our strengths, I think, is goaltending. We got two guys who can give us, you know, excellent performances whenever they get the call. We'll definitely share the load. I think over time, of course, you know, we're going to play the one who earns the opportunity to carry more of the load, but we're hoping to have both guys playing well and we can share the burden.
Is it hard to assess a goaltender in practice? Because the last thing you want is a bunch of guys running into him, but you got to give him some full speed action, right?
Yeah, and I think we, you know, in training camp and beginning of the season here, we've had some good practices. We've been going for, you know, 50 minutes. So there's been lots of work. Certainly we've had to have some days off because of the travel. But I'm not concerned about sharpness for either guy. I think they've both had enough work.
Yeah, and Leonard is an accomplished guy at the highest level, so you know, nothing to be concerned about there when he does play. Yes, Mark.
I'm just saying it is hard to keep two guys happy, though, right, Coach? I mean, they're both professionals. They'll do whatever you say, but that's not an easy thing for you.
Yeah, they both want to play, no question. That's part of why they're good. They're competitors. They want to have the ball. They want to be the difference, you know, for the team having success. But I think if you're going to have a top team, an excellent team, you need to have depth. And part of that is everyone gets maybe a little less than they'd like to have, but that adds up to having a really good team with multiple guys who can help you win.
Now, you've played all over the world. It's the first time I think you said you coached in Prague. You didn't play there, but you played everywhere, including here. And I have never in my life, as a hockey fan and a hockey nut, I have never been in an arena that was that warm. It was strange. We came in, you know, when you come into a hockey building, you expect there to be a chill because it's played on ice. Coach, was it hot on your level on the ice?
Yeah, it was definitely warm. I think harder on the players than for me. It probably was comfortable for me back there. But I think the ice quality certainly was affected. But, you know what, it was the same for both teams, so it's not an excuse at all. I expect the ice will be way better tonight, though.
Yeah, well, we're pretty good at it here. There's nothing quite like a Hawks home opener, and there's always a surprise or two that the bosses have cooked up. And it's going to be a good time. Look, you know how good this team is and can be, so why not get it started tonight?
No question. Sounds like a great plan.
All right. Well, that's how you know it's not my first day. Coach, thank you very much. I appreciate the time.
Thanks a lot, guys. Take it easy.
That's the coach, Jeremy Colleton.
Hey, It's a great opportunity to start the season hot. And San Jose's coming in scuffling 0-4.
Like hot as in like metaphoric, like figurative hot, not like...
You're talking
hot.
To hockey fans. I don't think you can say metaphorical to us.
Okay, never mind.
Yeah. Both.
Not
both,
like
G.
Temperature we, hot. You were actually hot in Prague is what I'm saying.
Yeah, phorically. We're not metaphoric. We're more phoric. Mark Carmen, a couple of more suggestions and I'll drop this wedding song thing if I can. a song Mark should not suggest to his fiance for the first dance. Send in the clowns.
Oh, yes. That would be horrible.
Yeah, not a good one. Or The Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald. Legend lives on from the Chippewa on down.
Now, that was a fun segment back in the day.
So, all right, here's what we'll do. At 8:46, we'll update the cars, and we're coming back. Oh, you know, the old ball coach is calling in today. The old coach wants to talk about the Bears, even on a bye week.
Wow.
Yeah, so we'll give him a couple of minutes. We'll come back and do that. Steve Cochran Show continues. It's 8:51. CLTV joins us at 9 o'clock. We just heard from Coach Colleton. What about the old football coach? You know, the guy's a little rough on me at times.
Really?
Yeah. But he said he's got some things he wanted to add, so I guess I give him a couple of minutes, huh?
Is this your, like, coach from high school? Like, did he coach you?
He claims he coached me. I don't remember it. Okay. He started coaching in the 20s.
This is where you blew out your knees.
I wouldn't have to play for him anymore.
So you played really hard for him.
Yeah.
Put your heart on the line.
Your old coach joins us now. Good morning, Coach.
Good morning, Cochran.
How are things at the football field?
Everything's pretty good, Cochran.
Yeah?
I was thinking about you today.
What were you thinking?
Well, you know, some people spread joy wherever they go.
Yes?
With you, Cochran, it's whenever.
So, whenever I go, people are happier?
Yeah, Cochran.
Does it help when you emphasize my name to remember it?
What's your name again?
It's Cochran.
Oh, Cochran. I'm talking about the Cochran Show.
Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah. I got a note here that you wanted to talk about the Bears. You know they're off this week.
No, they're not off this week. I was trying to find a team they was playing. I never even heard of this October byes.
The October.
I can't find a guy on their roster.
Well, I mean, you like their chances against the bye?
I don't like their chances even on Saturday before it. It don't matter.
What do you mean it doesn't matter?
No, their offense ain't doing nothing. Defense is good. You got Shaq Scholman at defensive tackle, linebacker Sleepy Floyd. These are good guys. These are guys who are playing, and they're playing at the top of their job. They're doing a great job.
Okay.
But the offense, Here's the thing. You got that big controversy between Chase Manhattan, the quarterback,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
And Mitchell Tribune subscription. These two guys, you got to choose one. You got to make that choice today, okay?
Okay.
But here's the problem.
Okay, what's the problem?
The problem is nobody's talking about this. It's the offensive line. They're ridiculous. They're like, I call them the Chicago Sieves. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Well, yeah, sure. Of course I do. Yeah.
Cause now, get this, Cocker. I was watching them up in practice. They're the only ones on the field. They still lost yardage.
You really? Playing by themselves?
Defense wasn't even there.
So just by themselves they backed up. That's not good.
It's ridiculous. But it's the old line, man. It's the offensive line. Jay Leno Jr., Kelly Lung, Raymond Massey. None of these guys are pulling their weights.
And they're big boys. That's a lot of weight to pull.
They're huge.
Yeah.
They're huge. I remember the biggest guy we had, 1941, Pocky Nakatosko. He was enormous, 5'10", about 185.
And he was the biggest guy in the league.
It was giant. We call him Giant Pocky Takanasco.
So did you have helmets when you started playing?
No, we didn't have helmets, Cochran. But you should know how that is because they couldn't get one to fit your head.
So you didn't have helmets. Did you have quarterbacks or were they only playing with 10 guys?
No, we had 6 guys on a team, and we draw up our plans in the dirt.
Right, the way football should be played.
That's how it should be played. The problem is they ain't got no dirt no more.
I'm curious, Coach, when you're happy, do you sound the same way as you sound when you're not happy?
I am happy. Merry Christmas.
All right, we're going to run out of time here, Coach, but I appreciate your phone call.
Yeah, I love you too, Cochran. Okay. You're the only guy I know who makes onions cry.
That's the coach. He's a little tough on me, but that's the coach.
I feel like he's continued his mentorship of you. I mean, he's kept
in touch. We're very close. Very, very close. Hey, Super Joe, I got a minute here, right? I got a second here?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I was going to bring this up completely different, but I think we need a palate cleanser.
Okay.
do you know someone that's had too much plastic surgery?
Yes.
You know, there's a fine line. There's nothing wrong with whatever you choose to do for your appearance, but there's a point where you have to stop.
Well, I'm thinking about Botox. I feel like I need a little Botox.
I think you look great.
Well, thank you.
Joan Rivers went too far. She couldn't stop. And, you know, unfortunately, the end of her life occurred with another plastic surgeon. But there's a guy named Rodrigo Alves.
Okay.
He is called the human Ken doll.
Oh, I've seen stories about him before. I mean, he is almost, he looks plastic because a Ken doll is plastic.
He spent nearly $750,000 on 72 cosmetic surgeries. He now says he's dealing with persistent health issues, including his nose sinking into his head.
Oh, no.
Doctors have warned him against additional surgeries, but despite the health risk, he's seeking out more cosmetic procedures, becoming, as he says, a need.
Well, that becomes like a psychological issue.
They call it surgical addiction. You can be addicted to surgery.
He needs to seek medical help about his. But also, I think there's a really great plastic surgeon. They don't do surgery on people unless they're, you know, usually.
No, like a good bartender, you have to look at the patient and go, you've had too much.
You're like overserved, no more.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, Rodrigo Alves, if you want to actually get a look at his face.
Ooh, yikes.
We're back after this on 720 WGN in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. It's on 909. Gee, have you met our Chicago Bulls expert?
I have not.
We're
going to
bring him back. I think he's a little older. I think he's a fifth grader.
Okay.
John, you've met our Bulls expert, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Kids are amazing.
Well, I've told you a long time ago, I like kids. I don't like adults.
Yeah, you don't.
Yeah.
And you're very good with kids.
Well, because I'm the same level of maturity.
Yeah.
So I've known Jerry Most for a long time, pretty much since he was born, because Jerry Most is very famous. He has a famous uncle. His uncle is Dr. Kevin Most. And over the past few years, Jerry Most has spent about 80% of his free time at Hawks games. And sometimes he's nice enough to bring his dad.
Aww.
Yeah. So Jerry's welcome to the show. How are you, buddy?
Good.
Nice to see you. Third grade now?
Second grade.
Second grade. How's school this year?
Good.
Who's your teacher?
Miss Birch.
Is she fun?
Yes.
Okay. What's going on at school that's fun? I mean, outside of recess.
Coming home.
Coming home.
So recess and coming home. That's a great plan. What do you like to do at school? Do you like to read? Do you like math?
What's
math? What do you think you want to be when you grow up?
A hockey player.
On the ice? And then eventually a coach?
Yes.
Okay. You have met so many amazing people in the past couple of years. Tell everybody some of the people you've met.
Kane DeBrinket, Strom Cagula.
Pretty good, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, have you met Coach yet?
No.
I'm going to have to hook you up with Coach. How about Doc Emmerich?
No.
You know who Doc is, right?
Yes.
Play-by-play guy. Have you missed a Hawks game in the last couple of years? I mean, I know some around at night and they're too late because you have to go to bed, but you at least see the beginning?
Yeah.
Is it tough to go to bed when the game's still on?
Yes.
Yeah. Do you ever sneak out and, like, you know, turn the TV on super quiet?
No.
So you're a nice guy.
Yes.
Yeah. And also, you don't want to get in trouble.
No.
Right. Well, the good news is the Hawks play tonight. Where will you be when the game's on tonight?
At the Blackhawks Arena.
You're going to go?
Yep.
Oh, that's fantastic. How cool are your parents, man?
Really cool.
Right? Nice as that. So, when you're at the game tonight, what do you want to see out of our Hawks?
A win.
Right, but give me some details. What do they need to do better?
Against the San Jose Sharks, they need to play more tough against them.
Play a little tougher.
Mm-hmm.
Mix it up in the corners?
Yes.
Okay. Who are some of our tough guys, our toughest guys, do you think?
I'm going to say Murphy.
Yeah, Murphy is, you know, is Murphy healthy? Is he back? I think he might be. You know who else mixes it up in the corners is Taves. And I get worried about Taves because we need him. And there he is in the corners, you know, having guys punch him. when are you going to start playing hockey?
I've already started.
Oh, you have?
Mm-hmm.
What position do you play?
I play center.
Okay.
In street hockey.
Okay. Have you scored a goal?
Yes, a lot of goals against my dad.
Yeah. Do you think he's kind of a weak goalie?
Yes.
What's his weak side? Left side or right side?
Right.
Right side? Left side not so good either?
No.
How about the five hole? You know what the five hole is?
Yes.
Yeah, between his legs you can get there?
Yep.
Yeah. So you can score on your dad at will?
Yes.
It sounds like he can dominate.
Sounds like
his
you
dad.
Have a question for Joe?
Yeah, I was wondering, have you ever seen the Stanley Cup?
Yes, I have.
Oh, when was that, and what was it like?
I was like about three or four when I saw it, and it was super cool.
That's half a lifetime ago. Is that right, 4 years ago? Yeah, 2015, four years ago. So we need to get the cup this year. And if we get the cup this year, maybe you could take it home for a few days.
Maybe.
Do your friends play hockey?
Some.
Like, who do you play when you're just smacking the ball around and stuff, playing street hockey? Who do you play with?
I sometimes play with my friends, the Blumbergs.
The Blumbergs?
Mm-hmm.
John, the famous flying, Blumbergs.
Yes, I've heard a lot about the Blumbergs.
Yeah, a lot of people know about
they're
that.
They're tough.
Yeah, yeah.
Blumbergs
are
tough.
Yeah. And when did you get into hockey? When you saw the cup, or was it because your dad loved it, or how come you got so excited?
My dad.
And you liked it right away?
Yes.
Okay. All right, I'm going to ask you a few things about the guys, okay?
Yeah.
Okay, which goalie would you like to see play?
Robin Leonard.
You think Robin Leonard needs to get a shot?
Yeah.
Yeah. You like Corey still?
Yes.
But you want to see what Leonard has?
Yes.
All right, what do you think of the guys on defense, Duncan Keith and Brent Seabrook? Are they too old to play? Are they okay?
They're fine.
They are?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's good to hear, because a lot of people think they're too old. What about me? Am I too old to do this show?
No.
Okay, good. are you excited about Shazzy being back?
Yes.
Okay. We need to see more of him, though, don't we?
Yes.
Yeah. Now, you're a nice guy, and Shazzy is a nice guy off the ice, but on the ice, he gets pretty rough.
Yeah.
Are you going to be that kind of player?
No.
No. You're going to be the guy that kind of sneaks your way in and around players, gets a shot, scores a goal?
Yeah.
All right. John, you have a question for Jer?
Your favorite player has to be Taves, right?
Kane.
Kane, but yet in studio, and I think they can see it on CLTV, you're wearing a Taves uniform.
Yes, I am.
So is that because you don't have a cane?
Yes.
Wow.
I think I need to make a call over to the Hawks since you're clearly deprived. Do you have any idea how many games you've been to?
About 10.
Mm. 10 total?
Or at least 10 total.
Yeah, I would say so as well. And at your age, you know, that's a pretty good number. How many games are you going to go through this year? Any idea?
Not as much.
Not as much? Dad's broke.
What's your prediction for this year's season? Do you feel like they're going to go all the way?
Or yes.
What? Yeah. So who is the best team in the that they have to be worried about? Like St. Louis or somebody else?
I'm going to say Carolina.
Go Carolina in the East, sure. Carolina's supposed to be good this year. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I like our chances, too.
Yes.
For sure. You like the new guys? You like Ali Mata?
Yes.
Yeah, he's fast, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know who he reminds me of? Me. What are you laughing about?
What do you think?
All right, we got a couple of texters who want to ask some questions. Can you hang around for a second?
Yes.
All right. Are you going to school today?
No, it's parent-teacher conferences.
Nicely done.
And is school off tomorrow, too?
Yes.
Aha!
So what are you doing when you leave here?
Going back home.
Yeah, it seems right. That seems like a logical choice.
That's,
yeah.
Well, he could be taking the architectural tour. You know, who knows?
I just, the weird thing.
Your teacher coming here today for the conferences?
No.
Okay.
Do your parents know you took the car?
No.
All right, stick around, Jared. More in a moment. 9:16, the Steve Cochran Show continues next on 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
His mother told him someday you will be a man, and you will be the leader of a big old band. Many people coming from miles.
We're talking to the mayor of the United Center, as so named by the boss here, Mary Sandberg. It's the world famous Jerry Most. Do you ever hear your Uncle Kevin when he's on the radio with me?
Yes.
How do you think he does?
Pretty good.
Yeah? Is there anything you'd change about it? Or?
No.
You think he gives good information?
Yes.
Yeah? Is it nice to have a doctor in the family?
Yes.
Yeah. Do you feel like you're under some sort of deposition pressure right now? Do you know what a deposition is?
No.
I wouldn't either if I were.
What's your favorite thing about hockey? Why do you love it so much?
That's a good question.
Yeah. Because in hockey, there is a lot of penalties, and there's a lot of ways to get them, and you can score goals.
Why do you like the upper deck more than the lower deck? Most people would say they'd want to sit close to the ice.
Well, from the upper deck, you can see the ice easier.
That's a good point. You play hockey on PlayStation?
Yes.
NHL 19, or what do you have?
20.
NHL 20. Who's on the cover?
Austin Matthews.
Who's your favorite non-Blackhawk player?
Connor McDavid.
Connor McDavid,
yeah.
Right? You know, Connor McDavid's only 6 months older than you.
Yep.
Yeah, he's pretty crazy. Now, you're going to game tonight. There's no school tomorrow. But you like some of the Sharks players?
Yes.
Like who?
Brent Burns, Seddon Cloutier, and Eric Carlson.
How about Patrick Marleau?
Yep, I like him too.
Yeah? And how'd you get involved with the Sharks? How do you know those guys? Or have you memorized every player in the league at this point?
I have a lot of cards of the Sharks.
You have a lot of hockey cards?
Yes.
Okay, let me tell you something. You got to be careful with your hockey cards.
Yeah.
You need to save them because everybody your dad's age or even older will tell you that their mom threw out their cards.
That's true.
Otherwise, they'd be rich. No, I like your mom a lot. She's a super nice lady. But she looks shifty to me. So be careful. Be careful if she goes after your hockey card.
So I have a street hockey question for you.
Yes.
So I come from a time when we played street hockey. Our puck was, we usually had to wait for like a frozen dead rat.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But you, what do you use? Do you use a ball or a puck?
A ball.
A ball. Is it an orange ball?
It's an orange and yellow ball.
Orange and yellow. Mm-hmm. So it's two colors?
Yes.
But does it hurt if you get hit with it?
If you do a slap shot, it hurts.
So, but not your dad, because he can't stop anything, correct?
Right.
So it just goes past him.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. He's Swiss cheese.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, John, you don't know this, but our friend Jerry Most here played hockey against a couple of top prospects for the Blackhawks.
Oh, I didn't? Okay. Yeah. No. Who?
Who'd you play against?
I can only remember one, Adam Boquist.
Yeah, the other was Mackenzie Entwistle.
Mm.
How'd you do?
Do they live on your street?
We won.
You won?
Yes.
You beat the prospects?
Uh-huh.
Well, that's why they're not in the league anymore.
That's
got a bunch of 8-year-olds beating them. What was the final score? Do you remember?
I think it was like 5-2.
Nice. Nice. Do you celebrate every goal?
Yes.
All right. Now, we're on TV right now, on CLTV. Just by standing up, or maybe you can do it from your chair, show me your goal celebration. What do you do? Oh, get one of these?
Yes.
Or give it to me again. How am I doing? Is it like this?
Yes.
Do you have a little sneer on your face? Like, give
yes.
one of those? Okay. Do you have a helmet?
No.
Yeah, me either. I can't find one that fits my head. Well, listen, I'm excited about you being on the show. Will you do this for us throughout the year?
Yes.
Okay, you're going to be our hockey guy.
Yes.
All right, so I'm going to need some analysis. I'm going to need you to pay attention. We need you to tell me what you like, what you don't like.
Okay.
And I'm going to hook you up with the coach this year. So okay. You and Coach Colleton can talk hockey.
Yeah, cool. Maybe you can give him some advice. I think that would be good.
Also, we're going to need all your parent-teacher conferences scheduling.
Yeah. And by the way, if you want, I'll go to the parent-teacher conference with your parents. I mean, I can talk to some people.
No.
I don't need that kind of help, Steve.
No, sorry.
So,
too bad.
Thanks for being on. Let me hear a Go Hawks.
Go Hawks.
That's it. Nice job, Jerry Mo. Somebody ever Jerry.
Yeah, Jerry.
How cool is he?
That's the best.
Super
That's
cool. The best.
You married Jerry?
No.
Oh, not yet? Okay. It's 9:23, and...
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Jerry Most, our new Blackhawks expert, is management's dream. You would never have a meeting with Jerry where you go, oh, that kid talks too much.
So good.
But he told me a bunch of stuff off the air that we're going to, you know, have him bring up next time he's on.
He was very thoughtful. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and by the way,
I love how much he loves hockey.
He talks like a hockey player.
Yeah,
you know, just says
yes.
Demeanor.
Good point,
right?
Mary. Very good.
I thought I was talking to one of the guys at breakfast with a Blackhawk.
That's tremendous. he's got a favorite stuffed animal, and it's related to hockey, but I forgot to ask him about it, so we'll bring that up next time. But anyway, that's the great Jerry Most. I got to tell you, I've mentioned this before. But I don't know about you guys, but I love seeing tight families that like being around each other.
Mm-hmm.
And I give the most family's mom, grandma, all the credit for this. You see this family together. They just love being around each other.
The most to the most?
Yeah, and the most brothers have one sister, and she's clearly the class of the family. But the foremost brothers, including Kevin and David, Jerry's dad, they travel together. They play golf together. I mean, these are grown-ups with lives that, you know, you think, yeah, I'll see you in a month. See him too much. See him for the holidays. But they actually like each other.
And did you, J-Mo is their only child, right? J-Mo?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Jerry's their only.
J-Mo.
I call him J-Mo. Yeah. He's J-Mo now.
Now, Brad is the guy that invented Moron Entertainment.
B-Mo?
B-Mo. And Kurt is a regular listener to the show and really the brains of the family. Yeah.
That's good.
But anyway, thanks to the whole Most family, and thanks to Jerry for coming in. I forgot to ask him about how many pucks he has, too, because he's caught a bunch of pucks. It's like he's meant to be in the rink.
Yeah.
It's like all these cool things keep happening to him.
I love it, though. We're going to have him all season, right?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And I talked to his parents before they left, and I said, you're not interested in an education, right? Because we could need him quite a bit.
Did he sign a contract?
With us?
Yeah.
Yeah, it mostly involves Starburst. It's like unlimited Starburst. A bunch of nice texters. Really nice kid. This is from Steve. A really nice kid. Great knowledge of the game for his age. Let's go, Hawks. 708, Steve, you're great with kids. The fun Abigail, Grace, and Isaac will have. Wasn't that nice?
That's good.
Yeah. And Abigail Grace was already told me. He said, you need to grow up.
Aww.
Yeah. He said, you know, everything's not a joke. Pops. Can we go to the news? Can we do some headlines here? Let's do that right now.
This is the Steve Cochran Show
on 720 WGN.
You know, you made it in Chicago. I got butt dialed by Mark Giangreco last night. Can anybody else on this show say that?
I just got dialed. He just called me.
Oh, he actually called you.
He said he called you last night about 10.
Yeah, it's like 10 o'clock, and I get butt dialed by Giangreco. And when you get butt dialed, do you ever just pick up the phone and listen to the voicemail from the butt dial to see if there's something there? Because this is like a 5-minute long message, and I probably should have better things to do with my time. So, but you know, I don't. Frank Caliendo's here. Frank, I hope you don't mind if I say this. Frank is one of the greatest stand-ups in America. Dare I say the planet?
I would rather you say I'm one of the greatest people.
No, I know that's that's not true.
I've also been calling people as a fake Gene Del Greco.
It's actually Mark Giangreco.
It's like whatever. It's okay. Sound like a kicker.
It was perfect.
Yeah, is that that
Al Del Greco's brother,
yeah.
Gene?
Yes. There's something. Listen, I'm not big on names. As a guy who does impressions, I don't take the time to learn the names.
Yeah, I
just do the voices and hope you can figure out my incarnation.
of their moniker.
Now, here's the thing.
See how I've strung those words together?
Yeah, yeah, really, was really good. Honestly, it was impressive.
Really good.
Yeah, you seem to be much more educated than the last time you were in. So here's the thing I picture you having as an issue now. Maybe it's not an issue, but everywhere you go, because of all the Fox stuff you've done, certainly, but prior to that, all the TV you do, people know who you are now. Are you sick of people going, hey, man, do this, do that?
Okay, so it used to be, and I actually even talk about this in my act, people used to ask me to do stuff.
Right.
And now, I think it's social media, they're like, do this for me. It's like, really? Yeah. I'm like, what? Did you just tweet that at me? What just happened? Do some John Madden. I circle him. Here's a guy who's asking me to do something. Then it gets worse because they're like, do some more John Madden.
Really?
And that's where I'm like, yeah. That's why I feel like I get the opportunity to make a social comment. Like, do some more John Madden. Here's a guy who's getting a little greedy now. And the weird thing is, I went from being a guy who's known as a comedian who pigeonholed myself as a guy who does an impression of a sportscaster named John.
Yeah, yeah.
To a guy who does an impression of a sportscaster named John with John Gruden. That's what people ask for now. They're like, do some John Gruden. I'll tell you what, man. That's some good stuff right there. That's tremendous, man.
Coach,
I love hot chocolate. You know why? Cold chocolate's everywhere. Hot chocolate? You can only get it once in a while, man. You got to get that to 212 degrees. What do you need, 100 degrees? What's boiling point? You guys remember, man? Is that Fahrenheit? I don't think it's Celsius.
Does Gruden like the impression?
Well, he had me on Hard Knocks. They called me to come in to do it.
I remember that at the end. Yeah.
So they...
So he's got a sense of humor.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I think it's one of those things where keep your friends close, keep your enemies closer sometimes. Because
didn't Madden get weird about it?
He didn't like me at the beginning, but he never met me.
Right.
That's the weird thing is when you meet people, there's a different feeling, a different sense.
Yeah.
So that's that. When Madden, I met him with his grandkids. It was at the Four Seasons Hotel in Dallas. Not important to the story. Just want you to know the type of hotel I stayed at. And he's standing there with a bunch of kids around him. I'm thinking, listen, this guy's they're either his grandkids or he's just really stuck in Ring Around the Rosie.
Right, at his age.
Jimmy Johnson, football coach, not the race car driver, stand next to him. I'm like, Jimmy, can you believe I'm this close to John Madden? What, you haven't met him yet? Taps Madden on the shoulder. Madden's like, what is it, Jimmy? Oh. And the look on his face was like when Shaggy and Scooby see the bad guy pop out of the barrel, like, zoinks, like, hey, Scoob, like, let's get out of here. Rut-row, this is going to be rad. Well, I made his grandkids laugh, and that turned it all on.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah. That's cool.
Yeah, but that's
interesting. Up to that point, sometimes... Oh, sorry. I apologize.
John DeCause. Hey, sorry about that.
Hey. That's his cool laid-back voice.
That's my John DeCause. Hey, we doing Kumbaya on here? hey, everybody.
You just did an impression of me?
Of course I did.
What a moment.
Yeah. Listen,
what a moment.
It's turning into Snagglebuzz. What a moment, even. Heavens to Murgatroyd, Steve.
This is the new Rickles. It used to be, like when we were all coming up, it used to be if Rickles insulted you, that was as good as it got.
Yeah.
You doing somebody's impression.
I think there's
that's the new
Rickles. Let's let you think there's something to that. but John was, I met John at the Columbus Funny Bone years and years ago. He was hosting, his friends with the owner.
Actually, no, that's where you're right and wrong.
Okay.
Because we met.
Just stay with the right part?
No, the right part is we met at Zany's, where I was house MC. Fell in love with him right away. You came from Milwaukee. And you were doing impressions.
Oh, you did bring me there. That's
right. But I'm the one who suggested you, and I made the call.
That's right. You just said it so sleepily.
Yes.
Hey. You can go work out at. Work out some stuff out of the Columbus Funny Bone.
But here's the thing. You went to Columbus. I recommended him. You were featuring at Columbus. I got a phone call from my buddy Dave Stroop who said, you did radio. They had to switch you. Like, they came out in droves.
Yeah, because nobody wants to follow.
I don't know. I think that might have been what he told you. I don't know if they switched me. I think they still paid. No, he actually did pay me a little bit more money.
Okay.
But I don't think they switched. I do remember that a little bit. But he's one of the good guys.
Great guys.
Not great. Good.
Well, you know, that's the best part. When you started, and I love impressions. I grew up watching impressions.
And you're friends with Mike Toomey.
Toomey, yes. And these are phenomenal. So watching, you know, the copycat. Growing up in all these different shows, but here's where you are so much better today.
And this then is gonna, to me,
then to me.
No.
That's what I meant.
No.
That's what I meant. You didn't let me finish. Great impressions when you started out, but typical, you didn't have like certain bits, didn't you didn't know where the joke was all the time.
But yeah, you're great. This is why I know you're crazy. Now, what are you talking about? This is why I know you're crazy. There's something very seriously wrong with you, because you never turn around and go, so I was at a Hollywood party and you wouldn't believe who was there.
Right.
And then
right.
you mess your hair up and turn around.
What I wanted to do was create it to be more like regular stand-up comedy.
Yeah, it's a stream. It's a conversation.
Just work the voices in. And I'm doing that even more. It's a weird thing that's happening with me now, because some of the old audience wants to see more voice, but I'm telling more stories. For example, and this is the whole reason of why I'm even in Chicago right now was I called up Zany's because I have friends that are doing this Ace Comic Con. You guys know what that is in Rosemont?
Sure. Yeah, and I heard you're bringing your daughter.
So, yeah. So, because Spider-Man is there, and that's all any 13-year-old girl cares about in the world. But
right.
So we're going to come to that. I helped them out with some little things here and there. I'm friends with some people. I was originally going to do a podcast there, but then some of the stuff on my side fell through, and or was going to talk about with them about doing a podcast, but that stuff fell through. But I told them, hey, I'll go do some promo for you. My Zany show is sold out. I just broke the space-time continuum there, actually, guys.
You mean to tell me you built a time machine? Are the WGN studios? Doc, this is heavy.
No, this sucker's electrical. 1.21 gigawatts. They changed it for the commercial. They made it gigawatts.
That's tremendous. Sorry. Fixing things, that's what I believe in, is fixing all factual errors.
First one we went to was Ace Comic Con in Phoenix. And when we were there, Tom Hiddleston was there, who plays Loki.
Yes, I'm Loki of Asgard.
Yeah. Yeah, the ladies love the Hiddleston.
Who does impressions.
Well, yeah, he does very good ones. And he's like, it was so weird because I stuck my foot in my mouth so badly. He was so nice, so wonderful, so nice to my daughter. But he was being cordial, and I'm just an idiot. He's like, yes, I am doing impressions of people I work with in movies. I was like, oh, I do impressions of people I've seen in movies. So, so similar, except for you have a way better career. But we just started doing a whole bunch of stuff back and forth, and it was very fun. And my daughter's like, how's your friend Tom? Well, it turns out that some of the people that represent him represent Tom Holland and Tom Holland Spider-Man. He's going to be here this weekend. It's Thor. I mean, it's some big Brie
Larson.
So
did you pull in a show business favor?
Oh, yeah. I use my C-list
status. For your daughter, that's great.
All the time.
Nice.
You have no idea how much.
No, dude, I salute this.
That's all I do. My son with Kyler Murray got to spend time with number one draft pick Kyler Murray because it's right down the street from us. Now, I'll go through. My daughter met, I can't remember the name of it, but there are a bunch of Nickelodeon shows and Disney shows I've gotten my daughter to meet. It goes in cycles because it'll be somebody that my son I can help meet, and then it'll be somebody my daughter I can help
perfect.
Meet. Yeah, it's been surreal. But my daughter broke her elbow a year ago, June 29th, on her birthday last year. And it wasn't healing properly.
Right.
So it was a weird thing. So on this birthday, we went to Seattle for the Ace Con there. And when we went there, I had audio and video of Josh Brolin talking about me being, I can pull this up if you want. I'm my own producer. Of Josh Brolin talking about me being his inspiration for George W. Bush in W.
Yeah.
And he's talking about Oliver Stone. He says Oliver and I, and I'm like, Oliver Stone. I'll pull it out. I've got it on my favorites.
I've heard the story.
I've got it on my favorites. So we go over there. We finally get to meet him. And then Chris Evans is there, who plays Captain America.
Mm-hmm.
And Chris Evans is like, wait a second, who are you? I'm like, Frank Caliendo. He goes, oh my God. And he starts quoting stuff from my act. And my daughter's like, this is the greatest day of my life.
It is.
And I'm like, everything's downhill from here, hon. Because the other guys, like Tom Holland and Elias, they're from other countries. They don't know how biggest in the football audiences.
But how cool is it that you could pick such a ridiculous career of show business and make your kid so happy?
That's come all. On. I mean, and I don't go to meet... try to meet directors or famous people, anything like that. It's my kids.
Yeah, and to see the look on your kid's face.
Yeah. It's
the best.
I talk about this all the time. When my daughter meeting Chris Evans was so funny. I'm trying to tell Chris Evans what it's like to be pigeonholed as a character and then calling him Captain America. Yes. You don't understand what it's like to be when people just know you as John Madden, Captain America. Am I an idiot? Just punch me in the face.
Oh, yeah. All right, listen, when we come back,
I do one segment.
No, there's two things.
I'm a one segment guy.
I got Chris Evans outside. I'll bring him in.
You know what?
I'll stay.
So here's the
We're
thing.
We're friends.
There's two things that make me very happy.
Yes.
Charles Barkley and Jeff Goldblum. Oh. So when we come back, I would love it if they were
to make
here,
you happy.
If they were here. Yep. Yeah, I mean, it's my show.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or what's coming up at 10 o'clock? Well, that'd be your Bill and Wendy. We'll do that in a few minutes here on 720 WGN. $9.54. If you want to see Frank Caliendo tonight, you'll have to be in his hotel lobby because he had his heads for his sold-out Zany show. Why don't you plug your website or something?
FrankCaliendo.com. Got a podcast, the Caliendo Cast, and FrankOnStage.com for all the dates, but CaliendoCast.com. If you can't spell Caliendo, it's the letter C, the word alien, and the word do. And on Instagram, you can see at Frank Caliendo, at Frank, the letter C, the word alien, and the word do. And there's all kinds of stuff. Somebody did a deep fake of me doing Trump the other day. That's tremendous. It's incredible. The number one watch thing in the history of the universe. Second only. Number one. The only second thing that's even close. The Big Bang.
Is that right?
The Big Bang
well,
is
that's
very
fantastic.
Close. Not as well known.
What's the most obscure impression you do?
Wow. Max Wright, the dad from Alf.
Wow. Jeez. Lynn, Brian, please. Alf, don't eat Lucky. Why?
Wow.
There's probably some other weird ones, but
Do you like doing Barkley still?
It's one of those that's very, very entertaining because it can say anything.
Yeah.
Anything at all.
He's the only guy that, like, he goes on television and says, I want to punch Draymond Green in the face.
Right, and it's okay.
And his apology was even better because he's like, I apologize for recognizing that Draymond Green has such a punchable face. That's not an apology. That's a cheat code. Everybody else loses their job.
He's
you just
tremendous.
Got 20 extra Barkley lives.
And I told you, I think last time you were here, the one thing that really, if any day I feel sad in any way, shape, or form, I think of you and Jeff Goldblum.
Ah, yes. Hello. Any particular reason for that?
Well, why? Jeff Goldblum buying a hot dog in New York.
Oh, yes. Yeah. And how about this? How about we go just down to River Road? You ever been there? Yes. River Road. Gene and who? Gene and Jude. Yes. Go inside. I'd like to sit down. No. You don't get to sit down. Why? Okay, so here, let's... I'd like to order 3 hot dogs and fries. Put the fries on the side. You can't. What? No, you can. Why? And, oh, yes, don't forget the ketchup. Who did I just... make angry there. No, you're not allowed to have ketchup here. No. Mustard only. It's a mustard only zone. Ketchup packets will find a way to survive. They will. You bring them in your Brendelfly coat and you make your way in. Yes, have you met Goldblum? No, I've had some people play some video for him before.
What's the reaction?
He
seemed like he'd love it.
I think he's too out there to even know.
He's singing now, too.
Well,
right?
Of course
he's singing
I am,
with Haley Reinhart.
Yeah, they do
concerts.
I do all sorts of shows. Yes. I do duets. Islands in the Stream. That is what we are. I'm going to do one with Slim Shady as well.
You haven't
worked on the lyrics yet.
You ever pull a muscle doing a transition in the middle of a bit?
Have I or has Frank? Who?
Well, it just seems like somewhere you're here and you'll go here and you go, my brain's going to hurt.
I've combined characters before. I remember years and years ago, I was starting to do a Robert De Niro and then... Rick Moranis somehow came out. And was like, okay, are you talking to me? Okay, I got to have a shower. You know, some kind of weird. They start to merge, though. There's so many that are very close. People don't realize George W. Bush, Tara Bradshaw, and then bring it up and Chris Rock. They're all,
it's all the same
similar. Way. It's odd.
Now, this is, gets a little deep here, but I'm fascinated by the process. You explained me the slice of pizza.
Oh,
the pizza theory.
Yeah.
Try to explain to people how you get that for the face.
There's a triangle in your face that's the most important. So when I was especially at my fattest, that it didn't matter
that because I had these wide cheeks and jowls, that you draw a line across, kind of, if I had a unibrow going across, go from the Bert, from Bert and Ernie, mm-hmm. and then a point down at the chin, and that's the triangle going downward. I mean, that's what makes the face. So if you make a face, the voice kind of naturally follows.
See, that's amazing to me, because you're saying if I get the face, I got the voice.
It helps, because it helps how they form the words.
Oh, sure.
So the lips, how
there's a physicality.
The physicality. Yeah. It's easier for me. Like, if I'm doing a Jeff Goldblum, yes, my eyes need to dart around, as opposed to if I'm doing a Norm MacDonald, my eyes dart, but just a little bit slower there, Hey, Jerry, good. I love it. Norm MacDonald could do this. He will just say a normal sentence, and for some reason it's hilarious. You're like, hey, you ever been to the grocery store?
And everybody falls down. True. Everybody falls down.
Like, why? But why? It's just a grocery store. And yes, everybody has gone. You ever try, you guys ever do this? You breathe in air? You ever done that? What's that stuff they call that you breathe out? Bad air?
Right.
What's that stuff called? Carbon dioxide.
And it rooms up for grabs. You know what? I love having you in. And I don't care if you're sold out or not. You can come here when you're a complete failure and you're a gigantic success. You're always welcome here.
I'll make it happen either way.
It's the great Frank Caliendo. Again, that's C Alien Do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. Smart. Yeah, smart. Not just a pretty face. Bill and Wendy coming up in a second. I will be back on Tuesday. Quick weekend away, and have a great weekend, everybody.